Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. And again, we're excited to be here today. We have some very exciting people that are coming on the show. And we want to give all of our guests an opportunity to call in because we have people calling in from Israel today. We have people calling in from Brazil. We have people that are calling in from, they're actually calling in from Haiti, and they're calling from Cuba. So we're going to get the show started, and I'm going to play a song to give everybody an opportunity to come on the line, and here we go.
In hot down Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough. Oh,
All right. I want to say hello, shalom, shalom to everyone on the line. We have quite a few people on the line. I'm going to get my co-host on the line, and I think that our guests are already on the line from Israel. So we're going to get my co-host on the line right now. Brother Adonijah, are you there? Hello, Brother Adonijah, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonijah.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Adonijah. Do you want to say anything before we start our program?
No, I just want to see what I'll comment later. Thank you.
All right. We're going to open up the lines. I think we have area code 646 on the line, and they push 1 immediately. So I'm going to see if this is our host or one of our guests. Hold on one moment. Area code 616, could you please announce yourself and where you're calling from, please?
Sky, New York City.
Shalom, shalom. One moment, please. And I got another guest on the line, area code 770. Area code 770, could you please announce yourself and let us know where you're calling from?
Shalom, Kane. I am one of the guests. This is Amore Nuriyahu Ben Lewi, and I'm calling from Georgia.
All right. We're waiting on the sister call in from Israel. She hasn't called in as of yet, but we want to say welcome. We don't want to have any downtime on the air, so either one of you can start if you'd like to identify yourself and tell us a little bit more about yourself. You want to start with the sis from, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name again. Could you please tell me again?
Sky,
okay, Sky, could you let us know where you're calling from and introduce yourself to our guest?
Yes, my name is Sky. I'm calling from New York City. I'm also a friend of Mahalaya, And I just wanted to be here supportive and ask certain questions. I am also a musician, an advocacy, and activist.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's very nice to have you on the show, and thank you so much for coming on our show. Our lines are filling up. Our chat room is also filling up. And I just want to make an announcement for those who would like to call in. We also have a conference call number that you can call if you would like. This number is free, and the number is 559-726-1300, and the access code number is 765-506. So we want to make that known to everyone that, you know, you're welcome to call in if you would like. Okay, and the brother that's on the line, I'm sorry, could you please announce your name, please, again, and introduce yourself to our audience?
Absolutely, no problem. I says, again, I am Moray Nuriyahu Ben Lewi. I'm the spiritual leader of a congregation in Georgia that is called Kehila Segula. I've known that we are the true, you know, so-called African Americans, are the true children of Israel for over 21 years now. I've been in a teaching position as well, leadership position, 20 of those particular years. And, you know, I guess I should probably wait till Akoma Mahalia calls in, because I just hung up from her, so she should be doing that momentarily if she hasn't already done that as well.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom to you, my brother, Adonijah.
Okay. And where are you located in Georgia?
In Georgia. I'm about 20 miles south of Atlanta, outside of Atlanta proper, originally from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're familiar with Ben Amin in Atlanta? I mean, in Israel?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. You know, for the record, you know, I've lived in Israel. In the past 21 years of my walk, I've lived in Israel twice. And being from Chicago, at that particular time when I was a part of the a congregation I helped found in 1993, Chicago being the American headquarters, I had a lot of interaction with brothers and sisters from the community, from the vantage point first of their restaurant, because I was a vegan. I became a vegan before I interacted with the brothers and sisters in their restaurant in Chicago. It was quite famous before. I even knew I was an Israelite, sole vegetarian.
No, okay.
And ultimately, you know, that's where a lot of the interaction in my early days of my walk began.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds very, very good and interesting.
All right.
Yeah. So consequently, you're familiar with all the situations that's going on.
Hello. Hello? Hello?
Area code 256, you're on
can
the
I
air.
Be heard?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, can I be heard?
Yes, sir, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, my sister, because it just went out on, for a second there. But to answer Adonijah's question, this is what I can say I'm aware of, because, again, my interaction with the community goes back at least to 1993, but I have a relative who also was one of the founding members of the community. He's one of their original princes, if you will, moved from America to Liberia, then to Israel back in the latter 60s and early 70s. And my wife of almost 18 years, she is a former member of the community, and there was an effort to heavily recruit myself and at that other time, my co-leader of the congregation I was a part of in Chicago, into leadership positions in the community in 95, 96, and 97, more or less, which allowed me to be privy to a lot of things that were going on. And having had, again, a relative that was a part of the community years ago, as well as gaining friends in my early days of my walk, you know, it became very apparent to me long ago that, you know, I can understand, you know, communities, congregations, camps, what have you, you know, having problems. But the issue that prompted me to do a lot of research scripturally and then to ultimately visit the community myself in May of 1996 was the moniker that the community donned called the Kingdom of Yah, which if anyone who's an Israelite knows anything about scripture, you know, that's a that's a prophetic term, you know, something from the vantage point of what's written in prophecy, which means that we as Israelites, you know, have the mandate to search this out and say, okay, so if this organization has now taken a step towards evolution and it now calls itself the Kingdom of Yah and it's in Israel, well, what is it that they stand for? So rather than me just hear certain things, you know, I made it my business in 1996 to make a trip there, and I was the special guest of the international ambassador at that time, Nasik Atiel Ben Israel, called Shagrir in Hebrew, as well Ben Ami. And, you know, it's, I don't want to monopolize, but it's a very, very tedious story, but it's a very simple story for me. You know, I ultimately saw things, experienced things due to my actual one-on-one interaction with leadership and a lot of the brothers and sisters that gave me great pause. And then it caused me to look deeper, as I said, into the scriptures to search this out. And conclusively, you know, it was easy for me to conclude that it was not then, nor is it now, the Kingdom of Yah.
Okay. I feel you. So they've made some mistakes here, and they need to be corrected.
Well, I would go a step further, my brother, not just some mistakes, because, again, any of us who've ever had to lead Israelites, we can say, you know, we may have made mistakes, however sincere, however impassioned, you know, to lead people righteously as is written in the law. But by the same token, there are titles that have been adopted, given arbitrarily to Ben-Ami, the titular head of the community. And one of those titles is HaMashiach. Another title is the Heavenly Father, and things of that nature, the Lamb, you know, things that, you know, cause red flags to grow up for anybody who is a student of the Bible.
So, would you say that there's been some atrocities been done?
I would say that absolutely. Not simply atrocities, but crimes against our people, crimes against humanity. In 1998, I found myself in the office of Amnesty International, pardon me, you know, the organization, international non-government organization that deals with human rights violations, that whole thing, because I was there to report, on a particular situation that had gone down in the community and that had been spread throughout Israeli society as far as, you know, news media, what have you, in terms of one particular beating of a particular child, you know, left to not only emotionally scarred deeply, but very physically injured as well. And I filed that report in terms of that, you know, that situation, because it was not just, you know, an atrocity against a child, you know, but as an Israelite, you know, that claims these are my people, you know, the invitation that I was given was come see your people, come see your land. And in that one particular situation, which there are many more, you know, to answer your question directly, yes, it was an atrocity, but in that situation, I felt compelled to go beyond just the status quo. Hey, you know, let's just talk about it amongst ourselves. It had already been reported to the authorities in Israel, but then I wanted to take it on an international basis as well. And I did report it to Amnesty International, and they did file it in 1998 as a crime against humanity because of the documentation. It was all proven, letters from the doctors, what have you, in terms of how this child, this girl child, had been beaten under the guise of disciplinary action.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna leave. I might have another question later on. Right now, yes, and you did answer some of mine, and I appreciate being on the line, Stan, to give me your assessment. And I'm allow somebody else to that want to ask questions.
Okay, my brother.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, after reporting all the atrocities that took place with the children and stuff, what happened afterwards? How far did it go? Did it remove the children? Was anything, you know, did anybody get arrested? Did anybody go to court? Was it investigated? What happened?
I must defer to my sister Mahalia and as well another guest that's supposed to be coming on, a Kohen, Oman Ben Eleazar. They are much more efficient in relaying this information. The parts that you're asking about, my sister, I can comment on it, but they've got in-depth information relative to how things were pursued, where the status of certain things might be. So, again, I could speak, but I don't want to sound foolish in the presence of others who have lived it and, you know, are still there in Israel right now dealing with certain situations.
Okay.
All right. I want to make an announcement real quick. I just spoke to Mahalaya, and she's calling into the show right now. She was having some technical difficulties. And all of those, if we have any more guests that are on from Damona or you're calling to be a guest speaker from Damona, we ask you to please push 1. If you have a comment, a question, or concern, we also ask you to push 1. This is going to be an open forum, which as soon as Mahalaya comes on the line, we're going to kind of let her take the rim because she knows the people that we've invited on the show, and then we may have some questions later. So to the brother that was speaking, you feel free to go ahead and continue to elaborate. We're still waiting on her to call in.
Okay,
and as soon as she does, and the other guests who are expected to be on the line today to call in, we will get her right on. And let me open up the line. I think this is Mahalaya right now. Mahalaya, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. So good to be with you finally. I don't know how, but it seems like I got the wrong person on the line.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and let you take it over because you have some brothers and sisters that are on here to support you. I think we're still waiting on some more people to call in from Israel. And before you do, I want to make an announcement. I just want to say, you know, that this has been a pleasure to have gotten to know you and to make your acquaintance here in the United States. And I see where this is going to open up an opportunity for the Nation of Yehuda and the Yehuda Project to expand itself globally and domestically, because we are encouraging mm-hmm. relationships between all of our people, conscious and unconscious. I also want to say that as much as it's been a delight, there has also been some controversy with some of the other groups that have gotten together, and they feel like, you know, that we shouldn't be doing this openly and that we shouldn't have this conversation or this forum on our radio show. But I'd like to make an announcement. We found out over the last week that some of these people have known about these allegations for over 10 years. And to me, that's an atrocity for us to have known something like this in the United States and not alerted the authorities. You know, it's almost
yes.
like to me, from my perspective, is that the Hebrews want to maintain the sanctity of the vision of Damona. But, you know, if the vision is tainted and the mission statement has been corrupted, then
absolutely.
It needs to disband and we need to start all over again. Because I'm like, Brother Adonia, we don't want every pedophile that a part of the Hebrew community, conscious or unconscious, to feel like they can go to Damona and just do whatever they want to do.
Right.
Thank you.
So saying that, you can go ahead and have the floor. We have a lot of people on the line. The chat line is filling up. So go ahead and take the rim. You're more than welcome to take over.
Okay. Thank you so much, Yaina. And as you stated earlier, it has been my divine pleasure to work with you, even though it has only been for a short time. I feel right at home. As you know, some of the topics that I have been bringing to light concerning our community have been very controversial, and it appears as though a great divide has begun within the community. Ben-Ami, in his early teachings, he talked oftentimes about a time that would come, and it was a time that he referred to as the wheat and the tare, where the wheat and the tare would no longer be able to grow together. And so it was a time that they had to be separated, and it appears as though that time has begun, of this prophetic season where the saints of the Most High will have to understand that there is no middle ground here. There mm-hmm. is no middle ground. You will have to take either the side of the righteous vanguard, or you will go down in the hall of shame as those that stood for an unrighteous reign here in Israel. And it that's what it is. That's the time that it is. So tonight I would like to bring before you several people now. One brother that I have here with me now is also a Hebrew, and he has lived here in Israel for many years, and he has worked tirelessly. One of my one of the projects that I have lately been discussing is the issue here in Israel about the Sudanese refugees here in Israel. And I have to tell you that I was very surprised after making the announcement about all of the things that were happening to them, them being in prison, some of them being shot at the borders, women being raped on their trek here to Israel to try to find economic and political refuge. All of these atrocities are taking place. And some of the Hebrews or whoever they are have been making comments that these are not our Africans are not to be considered Hebrew Israelites or whatever their point was. I have someone here that is also working on their behalf. You know, the refugees here have stated that they want to do another strike. And he is going to come, and he's going to bring forth a lot of information. I have another brother that's out of Atlanta that's going to give a perspective from someone that was sought after our leaders in the community for quite a long time. He was highly sought after to, you know, try to recruit him to be a leader in the community, and he has a perspective that he would like to share. I had a priest from the community. I'm hoping that he will still call in. I'm not quite sure if he'll be able to or not. But these two brothers are here, and they are willing and ready to speak. And so I'd like to defer to Joshua Amariel, whose family lineage goes far, far back in the Hebrew culture. And I'd like to for him to come and speak now.
Hallelujah.
Okay, for all of those that are listening to me, if you can Google my name is Rabbi Joshua Amariel. That's Joshua. And the topic that Malaya invited me to speak on this evening primarily was the relationship with our people and what I've termed the ancient Egyptians, which most people have adopted the Arabic name, which is Sudan. And the scriptures make a reference to the Sudanese or the ancient Egyptians and the people of Israel and the people of Ashur. And it makes a reference to them in reference to how God is going to bring these three people together at some point in time to make a difference upon the face of the earth. So I've been the number one person here that when the Sudanese first came into Israel, I housed them at my farm. I'm one of the only brothers in the land, with a farm. And I've been helping the Sudanese. And also, Marlene, when we first met, you were actually at the center, and you were aiding them also when they first came into the land. And if you, again, if you Google my name, you can see the videos that we have on the Sudanese, and it's called the Return of the Ancient Egyptians. And we've done some videos, and also the National Geographic came here and videotaped us when they were actually deporting them, a certain group of them. So at this stage of time in the game, what's happening is that just some weeks ago, there was a large march in Tel Aviv that was basically the Sudanese speaking out against the deportation and also the imprisonment of the various different people that have been coming here. But there will be another march in a couple of days from now, which I've been invited to speak at, which is going to be in Tel Aviv. And at that march, we're going to open up the door. We're going to welcome the Sudanese to Israel. I'm going to take the initiative and welcome them here, because according to the scriptures, it says that you're supposed to welcome the strangers. The scripture tells us that when a stranger comes to our door, that we are to welcome him. And remember that we were strangers once in the land of Egypt. So I'm going to call on all of my Hebrew Israelite brothers here in Israel. I've reached out to the community, and I've also reached out to the Ethiopian community. I reached out to the Igbo community, and also the various different other African communities here. And we're going to try to make this. We're calling this the 144,000 man march. It's going to take place in Tel Aviv, and we're going to be calling Israel and all of the people that believe in the Torah to open up the door to all of the guests that want to come into the land of Israel, that believe in the land of Israel, and that believe in the Torah, especially for the children of Israel. Now, for those that have Googled my name, you can go to YouTube and you can see that I'm the individual that went to court on the behalf of the Igbo community just recently. But more importantly, I'm the individual back in 1987, during the time of the siege, that flew from New York to Chicago and then to Israel, gathering together support when our community, was surrounded by soldiers. I'm the brother that you can see again on YouTube, that when Prince Keskiyahu's mother was arrested, that he came to America asking for the help of the rabbinical board. I am a member of that rabbinical board, and I flew to Israel with an ancient Hebrew relic. I just revealed it to Malia just recently. You can go to my website and look at Amalia Family Treasures, or Google Amalia Family Treasures, and you will see an ancient Hebrew relic that identifies my family as being a part of the original rabbinical order that was set up by Joshua or Moses. And that it was a tabernacle that was put outside of the camp. And everyone that desired to love, that desired to know the Torah, they went outside the camp and they would learn from Joshua, which was the minister of Moses, and he was instructed to teach the people the Torah. Most people are familiar with, when you're dealing with the term Tsar or Captain, Judge or Prince, but they're not familiar with the term Rabbi. Before it became known as the term of rabbi, they were called elders, or the 70 elders. And these 70 elders, the spirit of Moses was divided upon them. And the word rabbi, which in Hebrew means increase, and that word, they were given an increase in spirit. Later on, that term took on the connotation in the New Testament as the term master, because these were the ruling class, or the masters of the children of Israel, the 70 elders. So as a rabbi, I've been fighting and attempting to continue the struggle of trying to allow all our people to return to the land of Israel without converting to Judaism. Most of our people now that are in Israel, by the grace of the Most High God, have been able to remain here for 40 years in the Mona community, and they've been able to receive a permanent resident status. And that permanent resident status is what was being strived for, or what was being, or what was the main issue of why the community, when we first came here, refused to convert to Judaism. Because we wanted to be able to come return to our land outside of converting to Judaism. And this is a very key point, because a lot of us believed at that time in the New Testament. And if you became a Jew, you had to deny at that time Jesus Christ or Yeshua. So now the key thing with that was that when we refused to become Jews, because we didn't want to limit ourselves and we didn't want to deny Yeshua, as we entered the sons of Israel, Benjamin became Yeshua. And the first, and I have a you go to my Facebook page, and I have an old picture with Benjamin on it. When he first pronounced himself and as beautiful as the Holy Father.
Mm.
So the people now, when they call him Abba, they refer to him as the Holy Father. At that point, my family stepped out of the community. And at that point, although we stepped out of the community, in 1987, when the community was going to be put out, we were the ones, or I was the one, that came back and fought on behalf of the community. When I came up here again in 2000, what ended up happening, I was an individual. When I came up in 2000, I ended up fighting on the behalf of the Igbos that wanted to enter into the land of Israel. Now also, at this time, I'm fighting on the behalf of the Sudanese that want to come here as guests within the land of Israel.
Can I ask a question real quick? I have a question for you, if you don't mind. How do you pronounce your name, Rabbi?
Well, you can spell that. It's H-O-W. S-H-U-A. I'm like Elvis here. Everyone knows me. If you Google my name, you'll see all the information popping up on me, and you don't even have to finish typing it. So my struggles for our people here has been well documented by the Jewish community.
And I saw you one of your video clips, one of your YouTube clips, and you were talking about, I think you were talking about Mount Sinai, or you that you have land up in the mountains or something?
Well, actually, that's on another topic, but I have been doing a 20-year research on the actual Mount Zion. And during the time that our community came here, the first place that our community came when they came here was a place called Arad, which is where we're at right now. The place they call Tel Arad is the only place that they found the actual house of Yahweh or Jehovah. The Most High's name has been found there, and we've identified it in our videos as the actual Mount Zion. We've had so many different researchers, and I'm working with the archaeologists there because, again, I'm the only person, I'm the first person, again, in history that translates an ancient Hebrew Torah word for word into English. You'll also find it on my website.
How many acres of land do you have right now in Israel? Because I saw where you have a farm and you have built a house, and it's called, the name of the land is Arad, are you saying?
No, the research that I've been doing is a place called Tel Arad, which we've identified, which the archaeologists have identified as the house of Yahweh. My farm is on Mount Ephraim. I'm not from the tribe of Judah. I'm from the tribe of Ephraim, and I'm the only person here that has been able to acquire land, and we contribute that. We contribute that blessing because we have kept our focus on what we're supposed to be doing here. I have been calling our people to come up in the holy days to keep the holy feast at the place that we have found the altar of Yahweh. So that's been my mission here in Israel, my primary mission. Although I've been speaking on the behalf of bringing our people here in the holy days, but as I said, right now with the sister invited me to speak on the topic of the Sudanese. So hopefully we can speak on that topic a little bit later.
Okay. Now, is it true that they're locking up there?
I'm not down there. I'm up here.
Could you repeat your question, please?
I said, is it true that they are actually locking up the Africans that are coming into Israel?
Yes, when they first started coming here, they were actually being shot at on the border of Israel and Egypt by the Arabs. They were actually being shot at by the Egyptians attempting to come into Israel. And they were aided by the Jewish, and they allowed them to come into the land. just now, but let me inform you, though, also what most people don't know, which is an amazing story, what most people don't know is that the first person of, among the Sudanese that came here was led here by a vision. He said that his name was Paul, and he made the statement that he was given a vision, that Abraham came to him in a vision and told him to go to Mount Zion. And when he came to arrive, he saw me, and I was able to point out to him Mount Zion. So that's why the majority of the Sudanese have came right here to Arad, Israel, which very, very few people know about that. I also have a video up online talking about giving that information out.
Okay.
Okay, Yaina.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I would advise anyone that might have any more questions for Joshua to pose them now, because I have another guest that has a lot of information, and I want him to be able to get on before our time is up.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Let me make an announcement. All those who would like to ask questions to the brother, please feel free to push 1. And for the people that were on earlier, the sister and the brother that came on earlier, your mics are already open. And so if you want to ask a question, please feel free to do so.
Okay. No, I'll just defer until the aspect where Rabbi Joshua is over. That way, I don't want to take any of his time or interrupt.
Okay. Okay, sis, do you want to have anything to say?
Well, I'll wait as well.
Okay. All right, Malaya. No one has a question, so if he wants to continue, or however you want to run it.
Well, let me let the other brother. Let me take that time as my introductory, and let the other brother also introduce himself and speak on whatever he wants to speak on, and then at that point I can go again. We can go back and forth. So let me let the other brother introduce himself. That's here in Israel online.
All right.
What he means is the brother. Morey Nuriyahu, you have his bio, and he is our next guest speaker.
Okay.
All right. All right. Torah Rabbah, once again, and you, my sister, is it Yanina, my sister?
Yaina, yes, sir, Yaina.
I really appreciate the forum, the platform, my sister, because one thing that for years I've not seen done is this subject dealt with head on, with no chaser.
Mm-hmm.
With no limits in terms of what can and cannot be said, so as the subject matter not to be undercut. What I want to do is, because I'm sure some of the people probably just tuned in or what have you, I'll reintroduce myself, and I want to qualify what I'm going to say, not just because, I've observed thus and so, and, we've heard a lot, I want to say it this way, concerning things that have happened in the community, whether it be on this side of the water, America, or over in Israel. But what I've not heard over the past 20-plus years is when people don't concur that it's the kingdom of Yah. I've not heard a lot of scriptural point of reference on that, and that is what a quote Mahalei was saying. I'd like to offer that. Again, for those who are listening, my name, I am Morey Nuriyahu Ben Lewi. I'm the spiritual leader of a body of brothers and sisters who are Torah obedient believers in Yahushua HaMashiach, or Yahushua the Messiah. Some refer to him as Yeshua. I want to qualify what I'm saying by saying I am a believer in him in terms of being the one that Yah has given the authority and right to rule his kingdom upon his return. Now, for many, that might sound like nothing but a Hebraic form of Christianity, and it couldn't be further from the truth. We are told in Tanakh, in Zechariah, Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 16, that these are the things you shall do. Speak you the truth. Every man to his neighbor. That would include our women, our girl children. It doesn't matter. The nation of Yisrael, Ha'am Yisrael, the people of Yisrael. This is who we are. If that be the case, when I was told back in 1993 that there was an organization, a group, structured group of brothers and sisters who left the shores of the United States in the 60s and ultimately in Israel referred to themselves as the Kingdom of Yah, I had to do a little backtracking, because I have a relative, as I said earlier, who was one of the founders of the organization, the community. He was one of the original princes, or Nisikim, and he removed himself and his family from the equation when the gears got shifted and things got changed from organizational to now, this is kingdom. There must be allegiance sworn to Ben-Ami. Ben-Ami is the Messiah, and thus and so if you don't do this, you got to go. So my cousin opted out. He took a step away from the whole thing, thus ultimately bringing himself and his family, plus cousins I had that were born in Israel, in the community, you know, in their absence from the United States, born in Israel. So long story short, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, as I had the personal experience in visiting their Chicago extension, the Ben-Ami organization, which I refer to it as, chapter 2, verse 44 of Daniel, or Daniel, this is Tanakh. For those that think that the kingdom of Yah is a Greek, Roman concept, it is not. The kingdom of Yah is clearly found in the words of Gabriel, the Malach, the messenger, the angel, to Daniel, the prophet. And when you look at that, chapter 2, verse 44, I want to read that because this is the clarion call that Ben-Ami, those in the leadership position, and conversely his people over the years, use as a preface introducing themselves as the kingdom. So let me read this to everyone, because far too often we tend to talk about what we don't like about organizations, but if the issue is they are not scripturally in sync, let's get a point of reference here. Verse 44 says, in the days of these kings, the question must be posed, what kings? Because there are 43 verses that precede verse 44. So if we're no longer Christian, and I'm not, and I have not been for almost 30 years, then we should not look at this, the kingdom of Yah, the organization, or the verse. At the end of the matter, we got to go to the beginning. In the days of these kings shall the Elohim of the heavens set up a kingdom. Let us know that this kingdom, if it's going to be on earth, belongs to Yah, all right? Which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the question that was posed to me as a student of prophecy in 1993 by this quandary of an organization calling itself the Kingdom of Yah is, does it fit in the context of the whole of the prophecy and not verse 44? Because you may have noticed it says that this kingdom of the Elohim of the heavens is going to break some other kingdoms in pieces. So I looked then at the history of the organization that became known purportedly as the Kingdom of Yah. And I found that in its inception, in its early days, from the putting forth of their doctrine and all the platforms of righteousness and the genesis of going from being called what they were called in America, then being called the Kingdom of God, then they went transitionally to being called the Kingdom of Yah. Then ultimately, in order for it to be a kingdom, they put together this doctrine that says the kingdom of Yah is nothing more than men and women who are governed essentially by the laws of Yah, who are governing others. So there has to be a litmus test. So I've been asked over the years, if this organization is not the kingdom of Yah, then what is it? Frankly, to me, and all I've seen, and everybody that I've seen that's left it, there's a word with four letters that's the most appropriate thing to call this organization. It's a cult. C-U-L-T. A cult of personality that has been given a biblical faith to bring about biblical integrity and acceptability amongst Israelites and conversely the world. Because when you look now at all of the prophecies, we can go right now to Daniel chapter 7. It's a very simple thing, because when you look at this, and again, I'm only offering this because we tend to say, hey, you know what, this organization, that organization is or is not. The organization that's in question now for myself doesn't mean it has to be for anyone else. What makes the organization suspect is when it dons the title Kingdom of Yah, because if Yah is the king of Israel, doubt it not. I know he is. This is what Tanakh says. This is even what Yahushua the Messiah said throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There was never any omitting of Yah from the life of the kingdom of Yah. But when you have now an individual who has sat upon his self-made throne, Ben-Ami ben Israel, you can go from what the Father says to do on the Sabbath day or the Shabbat, Zakor et Yom HaShabbat Lekacho, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Ben Ami comes after Yah and says, you fast on the Shabbat or the Sabbath. I've only seen, maybe you all are different than me, that only half the time the adversary comes after Yah has said to or not do a thing. Our precedent is Gan HaEden, the garden that was planted eastward in Eden. And when the Nakash, or the adversary, in the form of the serpent, comes and tells Kawah, is this what Elohim really said? But if you look in Daniel chapter 7, and again, I'm trying to let my words be few in terms of commentary, because we've got a lot of people who are not just confused, but we have thousands of our people who have been hurt systemically in this organization, this cult, and it's got to be addressed. I beg
you.
Well, Maury,
can I interrupt for just 1 second?
Kane, please.
Okay. This is Malaya, and I would just like to interrupt you for just a second.
Uh-huh.
Please forgive me, because we had a conversation a few days ago, and I just want to bring that back to mind,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of what I'm trying to do is I really want our youth to understand what is happening here, and a lot of them are not studious, and a lot of people are not scholars in these scriptures.
Okay.
So if you could make it plain, you remember the scripture that we were talking about and we talked
Absolutely.
About false prophets. Can you go to that particular verse
and
let our youth know what the scriptures have to say about that, please?
Absolutely. And I don't have a problem being interrupted there, my sister. We're in Matthew chapter 24, Matit Yahu, in the quote-unquote New Testament, as it is incorrectly called, chapter 24. And let's take a look at verse 23 to start. We're going to go from verse 23 to verse 26. And I can appreciate that, I quote Mahalaya, because there was a time that I didn't even know I was an Israelite, so I appreciate that. So again, in Matthew 24, 23 through 26, as I quote Mahalaya stated, she and I were having a conversation the other day. I shared with her something I shared with my Isha when we initially began to speak about the scriptures before we were married. In verse 23 it says, then, if any man shall say unto you, look, here is the Messiah, or there, do not believe it. These are the words of Yahushua, who is commonly called Yeshua. Yeshua ben Yosef, as he's been denigrated simply to the son of Joseph. Verse 24. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he, the Messiah, is in the desert, do not go forth. Don't go there. Behold, he is in the secret place. Don't believe it. For as the lightning shines out of the east, comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming or the return of the Son of Man be. So when you look right here, the warning is when you hear people say the Messiah is in the desert, the true Messiah said, don't go. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, quote Mahalaya, but Dimona was considered the miracle in the desert. Am I right in terms of the community?
Yes, it is commonly referred to as the jewel or the miracle in the desert, and it was even stated by the Israelis.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what miracle they're talking about unless they're talking about the smoke and mirrors that Ben-Ami has created down there in the desert. But it was very, very clear and plain to me in that particular verse that they were specifically talking about Ben-Ami, the
mm-hmm.
great wizard.
And what's so dynamic about that is we just got through reading English. It didn't require no deep Hebraic under or overstanding.
Shalom, this is Adonia. I'd like to just make a quick comment, if I may. I understand all what you're saying. I'm a Hebrew Israelite for 35 years plus. I've been studying in the Old Testament. You understand? I'm not interested in what all of that, what you're saying, which we'll probably have to get into at some point. What my concern is the atrocities that have been occurring in the Mona, you understand, under Ben Amin's watch. You understand? If we're going to talk about that and try to fix that, or what can we do, you understand, to eliminate that particular problem there, or because if we don't do anything about it, what's going to happen here is we invite every criminal under the sun to Israel, because there's no rule of law. You understand? Now, if we're not going to do that, I know it needs to be done. For 10 years, they told me, you know, they've been committing these atrocities, you understand, under no, with no recourse. Everybody's been doing their thing. You understand? So that is my major concern. Now, you know, about the Messiah and all of that stuff right there, you understand, that needs to be discussed at another time from my point of view. You understand? And I think that the only way that we're going to get an answer is that we go to the source. The source is the kingdom, is the king of the universe, our Father, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You understand? Because everybody can bring up some scripture, you understand, to prove their point. But the only way that we're going to get an answer is that we go to the source. On the Day of Atonement, if we sat back and we call on the Almighty fast, he will give us our answer. You understand? But everybody got a reason, you know, a king or no king or whatever. You understand? That's another subject for another day from my point of view. You understand?
Let me just pause you for a second, my brother Adonia, and I hear and appreciate that as well as however long you have been in this walk. But let me just set the record straight here. The invitation I received was to do exactly what you hear me doing. The reason I qualify why I'm doing what I'm doing is because of the need to bring it to a place of clarity for people other than you and me. This sister has people who she has listening directly from Israel, if you heard the request. So that conversation you're talking about, that conversation has already transpired as far as the Messiah, this, that, and the other. So maybe you don't want to hear it, but there are some who do need to hear it. So what I want to do is I want to proceed with this, and if you choose not to listen, then that's your call. But by the same
point. Well, my brother, may I add my two cents into that specific conversation?
Please.
Okay. The first thing I would like to say is that in response to both of you brothers is that I think what you brought up is very, very right on point. And I will add in the missing piece why it's right on point, because as you said in the prophecies of the so-called New Testament, it makes a statement that once our people have rejected Yeshua, that a perverse spirit will be given unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And that this perverse spirit is what we see what's happening right now in the moment.
Right.
So that's what ties those two conversations up. See, when you had a bunch of black folks that left America, and even in America right now, one of the most common things that we all shared was that we believe in Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
We call him Jesus Christ or whatever you want to call him, but you didn't have a group of black people leaving out of here. Well, my family left out, and I might add also, brother, I think we're just talking about the same family.
I know we're talking about the same family.
On my mother's side of the family, right. my relative was called Yaakov. On my father's side of the family, it was Prince Mikael,
okay.
And he lives in Cincinnati today.
In Cincinnati.
What about the atrocities to them children?
Can I say something? Can I be heard?
Okay.
Hi, this is Sky. I'm calling from New York City. I'm an activist and an artist and also a friend of Mahalaya. Hi, Mahalaya. Shalom.
Hello.
I just want to just say thank you, Mahalaya, for speaking out about the different abuses and that's going on in, you know, the abuses going on in Damona, the child abuse. I've heard it all before, the power, the abuse of power in the community. I just want to thank you for crying out loud, you know, for crying loud, for, you know, and speaking about these things, because a lot of us don't know, and a lot of us hide behind words. We hide, and we say we're going to pray about it. I just want to know, when is justice going to be executed for the children? The children, we hear about all this and that and the other. Listen, there is a 911 situation going on. Y'all brothers in Damona or in Israel and with all these titles need to be kicking doors in and getting these
things
phoned or something. I mean, come on. We talk about prayer. When are you going to do something? When are you going to do something? Let me tell you something. Our people, when it was trouble, our forefathers, when it was trouble, we prayed about it. We got answers, and we did something. You got kids, people that go. I know people and ran into people that is here that was in the land who's all messed up. They have no desire to worship Yah. They have no desire to hear the word. Because they are hurt.
Right.
They're going through all kinds of, listen, hurt people start hurting people. Are you going to make it go on into the next generation? Come on, we are the only people, we are like domesticated kittens. We want to say we're lions, but we're domesticated kittens. We're sitting around letting women get beat down, abused, and all kinds of stuff hurting. We're letting the children sit up here, get all mentally messed up, and we fighting over scriptures. Listen, let me tell you something. We need to put our gifts on the side and take care of business.
Hallelujah.
Down there, I'm starting to wonder, are y'all castrated? What is going on? This is sickening. You know what?
Well,
Go ahead and finish. Let me just say this. I'm listening to this, you know, everybody speaking eloquently and know the scripture, but listen, babies, children, women are being messed up. This is
hallelujah.
I want to know, what are you doing, especially those about, I'll
but let me,
what
let
I'm
let
opposing.
Me that question.
Here's what
that
I'm
question.
Saying. All of those
okay,
people
let,
that
let me,
silent
let me make an announcement.
Power.
Let me make an announcement. This is a very controversial issue. We have people that are calling in from all over, and this can get real heated real quick. I want to say my name is Yaina Israel, and I am the commentator for the Yehuda Project. We don't want to out-talk each other. We want to be courteous to each other and let everyone – we're going to give everybody 1 minute to make their comment, and then after they make their comment, then you can rebuttal. But, you know, we have to not – interrupt each other because that can be very rude, and we want to hear what everybody has to say. I also want to make a disclaimer. Everyone on this line is not Messianic-based. There are a lot of non-Messianics on the line that are listening to my show that listen regularly. When it comes to scriptural issues about the Messiah, we usually don't deal with these types of topics. We deal with other issues. But because today is a specific day and it's a special airing, the reason why they are dealing with the Messiah issue is because a lot of people in Israel believe that Ben-Amin is the Messiah.
Thank
so
you,
we
sister.
Have to allow these people to expound on this, and this is one of those times where we have to bite our jaw if we don't believe in him, and we have to let those that believe in him deal with the issue, the real issue at hand. We are mature enough on this radio show to be able to do that because we understand that, and we have a saying that we say all the time, beliefs can be changed, but bloodline is forever, which means we're family no matter what happens. We have to be able to communicate and be able to listen to one another before we can do anything else. So if you would please do me the courtesy and allow the sister to finish. We'll give her 15, 20 more seconds to get her point out, and then someone else can interject. And then that's the way that we communicate effectively without sounding like it's a shouting match going on. So, sis, go ahead and finish your point.
Okay. First, let me say, I am a Hebrew Israelite. Okay. What I don't understand, I've heard a lot of different things going on, and, you know, I grew up, I grew up romanticizing about, you know, Israel and, you know, and our people and it's all good. But when you hear stuff like this and you hear stuff with, you know, people who left it and just you start to question, like, what is going on? And then you hear people that's living there and they're being, you know, oppressed and you hear all these things, but then you hear nothing and you hear that they go and they cry for help or whatever the case may be. A lot of them, cults, they use fear anyway. They use fear to keep people from saying things because maybe they're scared to leave or say because if they leave, they're told they're going to die if you get out. And I've heard all kinds of stuff. But when you hear, when these leaders and these people who know better that is sitting up there called Crown, you know, whatever, you know, the brothers and sisters, and you hear these things, you are guilty. You all are guilty from the top to the bottom. All of them that walk with him and know they are all guilty and have blood-stained hands. Because all these kids, if you hear a problem, investigate it, and something needs to take place. Something needs to be done. It's you hear it over and over and over, and nobody's saying that, and as though it's like it doesn't exist or it's buried under the carpet. It's not right. And then we bring in some people desiring to go over there with their children. What's got to happen before people start speaking up? Is it going to happen to their children? You don't know. You hear all these horrible things, and nobody's doing anything. I don't understand. I don't hear nothing about brothers saying, and maybe they are. I know there are brothers that have left that are speaking out. But I'm talking about the brothers that are there. All those people that are sitting in there and not doing anything, and they give it with these titles. You're guilty. You're guilty. And anybody know anything that's going on with children and molestations and all this kind of stuff? Something's wrong. Something is really, really wrong with you. And then using the name of Yah, this is horrible. This is horrific.
All right, all right. That's her 30 seconds. Since when your 30 seconds is up, I'm going to mute you, and then I'm going to open your mic back up so that it, I don't want to interrupt anybody. And I agree with her 100%. With her comment, and who wants to go next to add something to that?
I'd like to go if that's
well,
okay.
Well, I want to finish what I was saying in response to the other two brothers before the sister was interjected her thought. May I continue?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to try to read this scripture, and Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, at the 20 and 34, and I think this sums up. I think this sums up exactly what's happening here or what's been going on here with our people in Dimona and reference to what's been happening where the people that chose to accept Benjamin or to reject Yeshua as the Mashiach.
Yeah.
That verse reads in English, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out from the countries where you were scattered. And with my mighty hand, stretched out and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face. Like I pled with your forefathers in the wilderness of Egypt, so shall I plead with you. So what you're seeing happening here for 40 years is the Most High brought our people here in the wilderness of Israel. And he's been pleading with us face to face. And my family was a part of the people that when Benjamin first became known as the Mashiach, we stood up and we said, no, this is not what we came here for. So now 40, and we became known as the outcast. Now that 40 years now down the line, it has been proven now that Benjamin is that false Mashiach that we said in the very beginning, and that all of those that have accepted him, that perverse spirit now has came among them, and it has blossomed. So what you're seeing now is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. My family, because we believe in Yeshua, we stuck to our guns and continue to believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is what we started off with 40 years ago. But our people in Dimona, they got so smart, they got so wise that they rejected Yeshua, they rejected the New Testament, Then eventually they rejected the Bible, period.
Yep.
And then they make the statement that Benjamin is their Mashiach. So now what we're doing, on the subject matter that the brother opened it up, and my conclusion of the matter, being here in Israel, is that we have to turn back to the Torah. We got to get rid of this vegetarian philosophy, because the scriptures tells us we're supposed to eat a lamb.
Man, how is that?
Lord have mercy, man. We talking about
we supposed to eat a lamb
that's
Passover.
In Israel.
And the scripture goes off, which it says that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to be forbidden to eat meat and forbidden to eat marriage. Benjamin has fulfilled the spirit of the Antichrist and of the spirit that's been leading our people around in the wilderness for 40 years. When we turn back to Zion, in 1962, Mount Zion was discovered. When the brothers got here in 1967 and 69, they found out about Mount Zion being at Tel Aviv. They refused to go to the house of God to pray. But they said, no, we don't need to go to Zion. We got Benjamin. They chose, although they located the actual Mount Zion, they chose not to go there in the holy days, but they've been calling everybody to come to Dimona. My family has been the only one here that has been calling people to Zion, has been calling people to eat Passover with the lamb, has been calling people to keep the Torah, has been calling the brothers there in America to stop keeping the Passover festivals in your garden, that you're supposed to make a pilgrimage, that we have located Zion. But the brothers that do come up, they will come to visit Dimona. They will come to visit Benjamin. But the people that's calling them to Zion, nobody's heard anything about us. So that's my perspective on this thing. When you turn to Dimona, you turn to a people, and I like to refer to it as Animal Farm.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia.
Go ahead and mute you out, Rabbi. No disrespect intended. Hold on. We have the brother from 770 that's going to speak, and then I will give you an opportunity to speak, because we do not want to be rude to anyone today. This shows how controversial this is. This shows how serious this is. And I'd like to make a statement before the rabbi in area code 770 speaks. There's also some questions that are coming from the chat line. We have a lot of people on this line. And area code 678, I'm going to get right to you. I see you. I know you pushed one for a moment. Just give us a moment. I want to emphasize to everyone, please only take 1 minute, because I know everybody has a lot of points they want to make. But we have to be specific. And I want to answer the young lady's question that spoke. Last week when we did our show and Mahalia went over the things that were happening in Israel, we emailed this show out to about 2,000 different entities. And the feedback that we received from that is the White House has been alerted. The Justice Department has been alerted. The IRS has been alerted. The United Nations has been alerted. Did they say that they have alerted? They said the White House, the Justice Department, the IRS, and the United Nations. All of those entities have been alerted as to the things that have gone on in Dimona. So there are people that have made the necessary contacts to be able to start the investigations, because those are criminal acts that are being done on our people. You know, from a spiritual standpoint, that's one thing. But from a criminal standpoint, that's another thing. So these agencies have been alerted that these things are going on. And this is the feedback that we have received from the Yehuda Project. So that's just thrown out there. So area code 770, go ahead. You have the mic.
All right. Todah Rabah, once again, my sister. Very briefly. Because, once again, for clarity, because Benjamin has positioned himself by the title of the Messiah, things that people reject, from the vantage point of what's in the Tanakh. I know both ends of this. I know the end of someone who has spoken out, who was never officially a member of the community, all the way back for myself as far as 1998, as I say, with Amnesty International and filing that international human rights violation report. I'm limited in what I can do. So what I can do is try to set the record straight in terms of who Benami is not from a scriptural vantage point, because was it not, were not for the scriptural thing, as the springboard, Benami wouldn't have taken the step. See, this whole thing about us being the children of Israel is biblical. Correct me if I'm wrong. That being the case, there is a time and a place. When will the time be, come for all of us to discuss certain things? Right now, there are many people still in bondage to Benami being the Messiah. It has to be explained to them from whatever vantage point, scripturally, what that means and why he is not. So what I want to say in closing just right now is this. There are people who are doing things. This assault in terms of assaulting the adversary who's assaulting our people has to be multifaceted. Scriptural is one facet that, irregardless of what we want to hear or don't want to hear, must be brought to the table, must be dealt with, because were it not for this, whether it's been perverted, mistranslated, misunderstood, our people would not be over there right now in the situation they're in were they not being pimped out with a false understanding of the scripture. I defer.
Hallelujah.
Okay, this is Adonijah. Let me say this here.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, I think Yaina had really, she had cleared up my issue. But I want to say this here about scripture. What we know about scripture, we can put on the head of a needle. You understand? The reason I say that is that we only know what them people have put out. You understand? We got the scriptures have been tampered with, written over, translated, mistranslated, and we all we get is what we read. And who puts those scriptures out? All of that stuff that was put out is by the European. The European put every book that we reference. You understand? There's no book that we reference that's been written that we say that, well, that's by that brother. You understand? All of the scriptures that we put that's been put out has been put out by the European.
Even the European
ones
has put out that we the children of Israel, my brother.
Excuse me?
Was some white boy put out or did not put out? Is that what you're telling the rest of us and the viewers?
All of those scriptures that we read today has been put out by the European.
So how do you
understand? Not nobody else, but
okay. And let me stop the we want everyone, when you give your statement, in your opinion, we have to make sure that we say in our opinion, because then it makes it absolute. So I'm going to open the mics back up for you guys, and please only take 1 minute. We have a mother on the line of a child. She says, "I would like to have the opportunity to speak as a mother of the victims in Dimona." So we have people
right.
in the chat line
yes.
that are wanting
yes.
to get in on this conversation. That's why I don't want this to be an issue about beliefs. I mean, I know what everybody's doing. So let me ask this question. Erico 770, were you finished with your comment?
Okay, my sister, I am. I'll just wait again until the appropriate time.
All right, no problem. We're going
okay,
to go on to Erico.
May I make a comment?
I want to hear from the young lady.
Hold on one moment. 61678, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay, my name is Sister Rakaya Bad Israel. I am currently living in the U.S. in Atlanta, but I was a member of the community for 35 years. I served as
Ma'am, I don't know where you are, but I muted your phone. Is there a way where you can go another area that's more private, because we got a lot of feedback coming from your phone? Mic back up again.
Now?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Okay, Petey, my name is Rakaya Bad Israel. I was a 35-year member of the community in Dimona, Israel. I served as a school librarian for 15 years. I worked as a project coordinator for the school with educational programs for 3 years. I was actively involved in the community all of the years that I was there. And most recently, I helped to establish the Committee for Child Safety to address the issue of sexual abuse, as both of my children that were born there were victims of abuse. And when we attempted to address this issue in the community, it was glossed over. We were told to just trust in the process, which is the terminology they like to use. And the process has not worked because the sexual abuse that has been going on in the community has been going on for well over the 35 years that I've been there and or that I was there. People that have come forth to address this issue as victims, one I know of for a fact was put out of the community. The offender, who was a crowned brother and still is technically, even though they say sat down, is still in the community. He runs a business. He walks free throughout the community doing whatever he wants. My son decided to take legal action, which we did, and a guilty verdict did come back. We're waiting on sentencing for that. But what I want people to know that may be listening is that you must be very circumspect. Pedophilia and child sexual abuse, we know, is a global epidemic. It affects children all over the world. But specifically, my concern is people that are claiming to be sons and daughters of God, claiming to manifest the spirit of Yeshua, the spirit of Yahweh, they should take a position against things, such a heinous crime. And for them to sit back and say and do nothing is unconscionable. So anyone going into that organization, yes, there may be some great things that have happened there, but just be wise in all things that you do and just be very careful with your children. I would definitely not recommend anybody go there. And that's
so you would not recommend anybody to go to Israel right now to Dimona?
Not at this time, no. There are too many issues in the community that have not been addressed. My sister Mahalaya and I have worked closely together. She did a video presentation, which is on YouTube, which is called Rakaya's Farewell Message to the Youth of the Kingdom. I also put on YouTube just recently a two-part educational DVD that another sister and I worked on to educate the adults in the community about this subject, which, hallelujah, gave a platform to discuss a subject that had heretofore been forbidden. It was taboo to talk about that. So those things are available. I also have a Facebook page, Parents Against Pedophiles, where I share information on how to help your children, prevention. All of those things are available. Those are the things that I did do before I left the community. Also, my son, who was a victim for a number of years, and I just learned about it in 2009 when he was in his early 20s, he and I sat down together and wrote his book, which is available on Amazon, The Lies of Heaven. And it is appropriately titled in that they consider that to be heaven on earth. So it tells full details of his story, of the pain that he went through, the suffering that he went through, and how he has tried to work through that to even begin his healing process. He still lives in Israel. My daughter still lives in Israel. I have 4 grandchildren in Israel. Someday I will return to Israel, but I will not return to the community. So thank you so much.
All right, all right. Area code 770. I want to make a comment to the lady that just spoke and to everyone that's on this line. You know what? You guys don't realize how much we appreciate you coming on the line and being courageous enough to share your stories, because there's a lot of different organizations out there now that are scrambling for power. And some of these organizations feel like that if they go to the leadership is going to fix it. You know, and we want to make that very clear that no matter what you do, if you go to a corrupt leadership, they're not going to admit that they're pedophiles. They're not going to admit that they are violating children and women. And in a cult, like Sister Mahalaya said, is a psychological issue. And we have to, but I tell you this much, let me say this. I am also a Messianic. Like I said before, everybody on the line is not messianic. So I want to share that with you. When you start quoting scriptures, people get offended, and it brings out different conversations. But I say this. There are definitely identifying markers to whether or not this stuff is real and it's not. If somebody is professing to be the Messiah and he dies and in 3 days he don't get up, it's not true. I mean, it's just really simple as that. If he's not doing the things that the scripture says that he's supposed to do, it's not true. And I know that that's hard to be able to fathom. And a lot of people don't speak out because they're afraid, because the kingdom of God is so big that people are afraid of retaliation here in the United States.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I want to make that disclaimer out, and I'm going to open up the mics right now to area code 770-742. Go ahead, you're on the air. Yes,
Shalom.
You're here.
Oh, Shalom. How you doing? I was just listening in. My name is Morey Elisha Ben Pinkas. I am from Chicago, Illinois. I currently reside in Georgia, Atlanta, and I wanted to chime in on the things that were spoken of. We talk about the atrocities that are occurring down in Dimona, but the most important atrocity that we have to address is deception. Deception is what brought about the other atrocities, such as the pedophilia, the murder, the adultery. This is the issue that has to be addressed. So I'm in complete agreement with Morey Nuriyahu when he highlighted Daniel chapter 2 about the true kingdom of Yah, how it is established. Because what you see down in Dimona, that is a replication, something that was created by man. But they used deception to control people, to manipulate people, to replace Yah in the minds of our men, our women, and our children, where people are referring to this cult leader as Abba Yah. They refer to him as the Messiah, and they refer to Dimona as the New Jerusalem. That is contrary to Scripture. So for us not to get into the Scripture, the very thing that we're trying to avoid, we need to get into that so that we can know what the truth is to break the bonds of deception that's occurring right now within our people in America, within the Caribbean islands, and within Israel, the places where these extensions are set up at. So
and
if
how
we
many
don't,
how many
go ahead,
extensions
go ahead,
does he have? I mean, how big is this network?
Well, I know that there's extensions in Ghana, South Africa. There's quite a few extensions here in America. We have some in Chicago, Washington, D.C., Tallahassee, Florida, Miami, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Houston, Texas. So he has spread this gospel of deception to people, to our people, the same thing that the pastors were doing and deceiving our people into believing in this false religion called Christianity. He's done the same thing, but he's put a Hebrew face on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem.
Wow.
Right there. For a brother like Adonijah to say, no, we don't need to deal with that. You're damn right. We need to deal with it. We need to go into Matit Yahu. We need to go into the New Testament. The things
okay,
that
let
make
me,
us feel
uncomfortable.
We need to go into that. Because that's going to help us to understand whether this individual is the Messiah or not. That's all I have to say.
Well, can I say something? For those that are learned in the scriptures and for those that possibly may believe that Abba Ben Amin is the Messiah, what about that scripture that speaks about when a person prophesied, false prophet, prophesied things that come to pass, and if it doesn't come to pass,
right,
then where do you go from there? Where do you go from there with all the things and the lies? Where do you go? It really, you either, if people that stand, you either brainwashed or
that's right.
You're ignorant to scripture and you don't know.
You're right, my sister.
It has to be addressed because it's like one thing after another and it's all the signs there. Because a lot of people that is in cults are brainwashed. You can show them the truth and they don't see it.
True.
Yeah, may I make a statement, please?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, the first statement I would like to say is in reference to the brother when he questioned the scriptures in reference to the you know, the understanding of where they came from. And I would have to say, yes, but you're absolutely right. All of the English Bibles that we have today, and most of the so-called Aramaic text that they call Hebrew today, is not the actual Hebrew. And most of our understanding that we've been getting from the English Bible, 75% of that basically is not even there. Again, my brother, when you Google my name, you ask the question, where is the text that we can read that's coming from us? Again, when you Google my name, you'll see that I'm the first person in history to translate the ancient Hebrew from the Dead Sea Scrolls and from the Shumanim text into English. So and that's another thing that we have been putting forth, and I've been getting I've been put in the Guinness Book for that. But most of my people know nothing about it because we continue to read the King James Bible, and we continue to follow our leaders, these shepherds. Now let me also add that Benjamin is not the only one. Benjamin is the first, or you might say the first in our generation. But we also had Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
That's right.
We also had Imam Misa. See, what didn't happen here, my people, is that when we was in slavery, we called on the name Jesus Christ, and God got us out of the slavery. When we got to the point where we knew so much, we understood so much, we started saying Yeshua, and then we got to the point where we thought we knew even more. And we stopped disbelieving in the scriptures, period. And that's when these false messiahs came up. Because the scriptures tells you, and people talk against the New Testament, but when they go to the book of Revelation, and they see all the prophecies being fulfilled. Benjamin, when you ask him about is he the Mashiach, or when he would use a twist in the words. He would say the word Mashiach means anointed.
Right.
And so what's happening, he is anointed. Benjamin has been anointed by God to test you, to bring you into the wilderness, to take you away from the Torah. And my people, we have failed that 40-year test. We have failed the test. God brought the best of the best of the best of our people here in the 1960s. But nobody else would leave America. God brought the best here.
All right, Shalom, let me ask a question here. This is Adonia. Let me ask a question here.
Brother Adonia, you got to let him, go ahead, I'm sorry, but you have to let him.
How do we correct this problem here? Now, not only, you know, see, I'm a Torah-based person, you understand? And I don't, you know, I'm open-minded. You understand? I know that all the scriptures have been tampered with. You understand? So I believe in my heart, and the Spirit of the Almighty has shown me that we need to go to the source, the King of the universe, our Father, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we will get our answers. But if we, long as we, you know, I could bring up some scriptures, man, say, no, we ain't supposed to have no king. You understand? Or you can say, but with your scriptures, yes, we're supposed to have scriptures. We're supposed to have what's the name? The only way that we're going to get any kind of answers is that we bring it to the Creator. We don't bring it to the Creator. You understand? We just going to keep being at odds with one another. And we ain't going to never get nothing done. You understand? We ain't going to never bring this kingdom of Yah bring this kingdom of Yah together. Now, here's another fact.
Can I just
we ain't supposed to be under nobody else's.
Because it's been a minute.
We ain't supposed to be under nobody else's governance. But our own governance. We only supposed to govern ourselves. We ain't supposed to be under the European. And that's who's running that land right now. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I respond to both your questions.
No, because
hold
on, sure, could you just hold for a second?
I'd
like to say something a little. I don't want the point to be missed that what Mahalalel said is so dynamically true. We have 1, 2, 3 generations of Yeladim children between the ages 40 and under who've been born in the land since they got to Israel, 69 and up until this particular point. Why is that relevant? If you go on Facebook right now and you go to a way to connect with these children, the majority of children, I think it's Sister Sky said it, who are so disillusioned about Yah.
Yes.
What is the solution for that? These people have conversely, Benjamin at the top, turned the Father's people against him to the place where at least two generations that I'm very familiar with in Israel right now. If you look at their Facebook pages, it's not that they got to speak Hebrew. It's not that they got to wear culture fringes, cords of blue. What I see them doing is they're running from Yah, arms wide open to the heathen Israeli society or running back to the United States, hoping to find some way to assuage their pain because they feel they've been lied to. So people now are telling me, hey, look at here, Netanyahu, I don't even know if I'm a Hebrew. What do you mean you don't know if you're Hebrew? Are you trying to say you don't know if you want to continue to obey Torah? Are you telling me that Ben-Ami has conversely turned you against Yah? Yes. My son, the son of my wife for the past 18 years, he lived on the Kfar in Dimona for 4 years. He came back to America running for his life. To this day, almost 15 years later, he doesn't serve Yah. We go back to the point, his Genesis, it's because of what he said he experienced. We begged him to not equate wicked people with Yah. But he had one question. If this is the kingdom of Yah, why would Yah allow evil men to rule his people to the place where they begin to question whether even Yah exists? That's why there has to be a scriptural, a biblical application along with everything else. We can get the White House, we can get the UN involved, but it's clear. If we are the children of Israel, I agree with you, Adonijah, there has to be a remedy. We go to the Father. But many people have been doing that. So I just, you know, there has to be a numerous prong approach to this whole thing because there's a facet addressing this in Israel. There has to be a facet out here. But there has to be people who are speaking and know what they're talking about, who are not just emotional about this, but who are willing to do more than quote chapter and verse, but who understand chapter and verse is what gives us our impetus to question, like myself for 21 years, not only is this not the kingdom, what do you do about it at this particular point? And you have a generation plus of people over there who's been summarily brainwashed.
All right, and I'd like to take this opportunity to make an announcement. This is a very powerful show. We have people chiming in. Our phone lines are almost full. And if the phone lines get full, you're definitely welcome to go to the chat line. Our chat line is full, and this is the first time on our show that we've had this kind of a response, so it's needed. And I want to say something. I want to take the moment to interject from what the brother just said, and I don't mean any disrespect. Are you a Moray?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what Moray just said. What I want to say is this. Coming out of Christianity, and I don't like to give credentials or anything like that because it's not important at this point. It will eventually later on down the line. But coming out of Christianity and coming into the awareness of who I am, I concur with you 100%. I'm going to tell you why. Not only for the Messianics, but for the non-Messianics. And when you look at it from standing back, looking at it from what I have observed, and it doesn't have to be Dimona. I can name several camps that's all over YouTube that when you start to investigate and study, because you're not connected to a group or a Knesset, when you start to go on YouTube, our nation is full of different interpretations of the scriptures. So to the point where it's a turnoff because I said this prophetically, and I will say this again prophetically. This will not be, and I'll say this again, this will not be the face of the Most High Yah. This will not be the face of the people of the Most High Yah. There is a changing of the guards taking place right now.
Okay,
to
it
the
is.
Point where he is bringing people, like people that are on this line, like minds together saying, okay, we need to do something. Because we cannot afford to lose our children to the point where they don't even want to serve God because they've been so mistreated and turned off that they don't want to have anything to do with it. We have already lost our children to other things. So I said all of that to say this. Let's take the opportunity let's seize the moment. Let's take the opportunity to create something that will allow that will allow those people that are out there that have said, I'm through. Because I know people that said that about the church. I'm cool. And they say it all the time. Look, I know what you believe, Yaina. I'm not coming back to the church. I'm not fooling with none of that. I'll view Jesus from the trees. I done had enough of all of that. Now, when these people wake up, because there's getting ready to be a mass awakening, and when these wake up, there has to be a sound structure where those people can come into the structure and be allowed to be who they are culturally without being told what to wear. I was on the phone with a brother last night, really, really late, and his concept was, because we don't dress in the attire and because we don't dress up like a Hebrew Israelite on the Sabbath day, that that's an atrocity. And like I told him, that's not scriptural. Let's stick to the scriptures. We have to be able to create an entity where people feel comfortable to come in, they feel safe to come in, and they will be able to be allowed to grow into the word or into Yah the way Yah has it, because this is his program. And man has taken his program and just twisted it and diverted it to the point where people just say, I don't want to have nothing else to do with it. And I've said that out of my own mouth from the perspective that I've received from the Hebrews. And from looking at it from a distance, you say, you know what, I'll just do it at home. I'm cool. I don't even want to do it anymore. And we cannot allow that to happen because that's what the enemy wants.
Very true.
That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to say, just forget it. I'm just not going to do nothing. And we rebuke the enemy, and he will not win, and we will develop what we need to develop, and we're going to develop it in love. We have to be able to love ourselves back to health.
Mm.
It's going to take love. It's not going to take nothing else but love to be able to do this thing. You can have all of the knowledge, the education, the archaeology proof. You can have all of those things. But if you don't have love for one another to say, hey, we're going to fix it. We're going to make sure those people who did those things are prosecuted and taken out of the way. And then we're going to develop an entity where you can come in and gather yourselves, where you make sure you're fed, where we open up resources to you, where we do all the things that we need to do to make this thing happen. That's the only way we're going to beat the enemy. That's it.
I agree, my sister. I agree 1,000%.
There you go, 1,000%.
I agree.
We got it. We got to. I mean, because we can argue till the cows come home. And you know what? I've had the pleasure of being in an organization that was all Torah-based. Everybody on that organization was Torah-based. I was the only one that was Messianic. And as much as they tried to convince me that, you know, this is that we don't, the Messiah ain't real or he ain't this and that and the other, I stood my ground and said, you know, I still love you guys, but I'm you're not going to change that. Now, the one thing that we do have in common is that we're all of the same bloodline. So let's roll up our sleeves, bring our resources together, and let's work together for the common goal of bringing our people together as a nation. Because one thing we're a nation. And everybody in the nation, they don't always think the same. They don't think the same. They don't look the same. They don't act the same. They don't do those things. We have Torah law to govern us. Let's get together. Let's work together and counteract this so that when the people in Dimona wake up, they'll have somewhere to come.
Can I offer something, my sister, if you don't mind?
Yes, sir.
I was just having a conversation with the co-leader of our congregation yesterday about this same thing and the time before that as well. And if I can say this as well, myself and other like-minded people for the past 20 years have efforted to put together from an organizational vantage point the very thing you're talking about. As a matter of fact, upon my first trip to Israel as one of the invited guests of the community, I was there not just representing the community, but hey, look at here. I have to see this up close and personal to not only know that it's not the Father's kingdom, but by the time you all realize that, you're going to need some place to come to. So between, you know, I was living in Chicago, then moved to Israel several times, been back to America. I know what you're talking about. I know the need for that. And I also understand the need right now for people to know that that is happening right now in terms of Ben-Ami and the leadership. That thing is passing away right before our very eyes, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready to receive them in righteousness, as you said, in love, but more than anything else, with the love, with truth. And we have to be rooted and founded in that. Another thing real quickly, there is a film festival that's about to happen in L.A. within the next week and a half, premiering a movie that's about the community. It's called The Village of Peace. If you go to thevillageofpeace.com, you will see that there's a movie that's about to come out. This is nothing but satanic propaganda. Amora Rakaya, I'll say exactly what she said. It does not. This is a place that people don't need to visit for any of their festivals, New World Passover, anything that they say come and see. People need to start shunning them. See, we are the ones who can start removing, not take the air out of this thing, because they have arisen to where they have because a lot of us have given them countenance. We've gone, we've spent money with them. We have acted like, because they've given the invitation, come and see, give us our grade. Well, after 40-plus years, it's clear. You were never the kingdom, you're not the kingdom now. And we have to do something to be moving in the direction of the kingdom, because Christianity says you have to build the kingdom. Prophecy says, and the kingdom shall be given to the saints of the Most High. So there is a time where the kingdom is going to come. I don't care what people try to apply in terms of saying that we're Christians, Christian Hebrews, we need to be ready for this and doing everything we can to be found worthy of entering into it. So I want to just say that again, thevillageofpeace.com. If you go to that website, some people have been asking me about it. I think it's good to even get together and boycott that movie. Very, very possible, because it's about to be used as a PR stunt by the community to raise, to get them to look good again and approachable, because the adversary sees that there is a floodgate of information about the evil that is coming out that they've tried to suppress for years, and my heart goes out to Amora Rakaya, or Kope Mahalaya, anybody that is in the hearing of my voice who's still in the community, who's sneaking right now to hear this. We know there's some good people in the midst of you all. You got to love Yah more than you fear man. Leave them people. Run for your life, because your life has not only been in jeopardy, your life is in jeopardy now by remaining there. So I defer to the next speaker.
All right, and I want to announce it real quick. We have minutes on the line before we go into overtime, and it looks like we're going to go into overtime. So anyone that wants to call in, if you know anyone that's still thinking about calling in, or are coming on the chat line, we need you to do that immediately, because after 5:30, you will not be allowed to come in on the line. And if your phone call drops, we invite you to call back in. We need as many people as we can to come together to be able to bring, to spearhead this endeavor, so that we're able to create something else, because it's out there. I mean, if the enemy is doing what he does, he's doing what he does. He comes to what? Kill,
steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask him what he does? May I make a comment? Okay, this is for Mahalaya, or them that is in Israel. I was to Mahalaya. I want to know, do you, because you have been so vocal and you have coming out and spoken, you know, about things that is going on in the community, I want to know, do you feel any danger or any backlash that's, you know, towards you?
Well, I'll answer that question like this. The only thing that I fear is the Almighty Yah. I don't fear any man.
Okay.
I feel as though it is my duty
as a human being,
as a mother, to bring these things to light, because I don't look at just my children as being just my children. I look at every child as mine. And my heart goes out to those babies that are still trapped in that cult. My heart goes out to my sisters that are still trapped in that cult. You know, and I have to say that the most astonishing thing that I'm hearing this evening is you don't hear any voices from the brothers in the community calling in. Mm-mm. They are silent. They are silent. And they have been silent for the past 40 years.
Wow.
There are brothers that are over there, and they're trying to affect change in the community. But by and large, they are under the control of Benjamin Carter. There's a lot of things that are coming to light now that people need to look at and take very seriously. This is one of the most demonic cult leaders in this century.
Mm-hmm.
And make there be no mistake about it. I just want to bring to light another issue that has come about within the community, if I may. It is a situation where there was a young son in the community that was continually molested, and as a result, he ended up molesting a 9-year-old girl. Now, the father of this young man that molested the 9-year-old girl is appealing to the leadership in the community to bring to justice the original perpetrator of this crime, who is a school teacher in our nation's school. And he still to this day is teaching the students in that school. Now, you've seen videos of the leaders in that community. We had Elite on, and she described an incident where she was beaten in the school, and she was beaten by one of the pedophiles in that community that still continues as a leader in that community. This issue is where one of the teachers who was a pedophile repeatedly raped one of the young sons. The young son grew into a young man and raped a 9-year-old girl. Now he's facing 25 years in prison. The man that raped the young son is still walking free. The father of that young son is going about the community trying to gain some kind of support. The leaders in the community are, again, mum. They have nothing to say. What has to happen before those brothers in that community and those sisters in that community rise up and say enough is enough? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah that's taking place here.
Sodom and Gomorrah, you mean?
A Sodom and Gomorrah. And the only thing that I could say at this point is there are a lot of casualties that are going to be swept up in the judgment of Yah of that community. Those people that don't want to stand for righteousness, those innocent children that are there, they're going to end up being casualties as well.
That is correct.
I personally, I'm going to call that school tomorrow, and I'm asking all of you, Rakaya, if you have the number, you used to work at that school, if you have the number, you need to give it to us. And we
I have
need
the
to be
number.
Called, and we need to be getting him out of that school because he's still over there walking around free when this young son is facing 25 years, and the son is very remorseful for what he did, and he should pay for what he did. But how is it that the original perpetrator is walking around free to molest more of our young children?
Can you give the name, Mahalia? Can you name this
and
original
can I
molester?
Say, can I say something real quick? Because we don't really want to do that. Let me say this. We don't want to do that. Let me tell you why. The brother from Atlanta, Moray, your area code is 770. You just spoke. This is what we need to do. We were waiting for one of the brothers in Chicago to organize a think tank. But I think that since this is an internal issue with family members, we need to organize a think tank. Would you be willing to hook up with me at the Nation of Yehuda and organize a think tank where we could actually come to Atlanta and really come and put our minds together and start making some things happen? Would you be willing to do that with us?
By definition, my sister, absolutely. I couldn't see anything else to do less than that at this moment.
Okay, well, this is what we're going to do. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a conference call number. For those who want to be a part of organizing this, write this number down, and after the show, we're going to organize, and we're going to come together, and we're going to have a conference call to discuss how we're going to do this, and it won't take us any more than maybe about 20 or 30 more minutes. This show will be over at 6:30. And we're going to go right to the conference call at 6:30, and then we'll probably be off no later than 7:15 for those that are on the line. This is the number that we're going to call. It is area code 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. Now, for those that are in Israel, that are calling from Israel, there's a toll-free number that you can call into this conference call where it will not cost you any money. And that number is 972-076-599-0022. And you use the same access code, which is 765-506. And we're going to do this right after the call, because what I'm hearing is pedophilia, I'm hearing murder, I'm hearing a cult, I'm hearing people are turning their back on Yah because they don't want to deal with this stuff anymore. And we have too many positive organizations that are forming here in the United States where we need to all come together and start putting together an organization where people can come and receive love. Because I think what we're doing is everybody's hurt, everybody's frustrated, everybody's angry. But you know what? We hold the solution in our mouths. It's on our tongue. All we have to do is speak it, and we'll make those things come together. So, you know, I'm excited about the show. We have the phone lines are almost filled. We can only have maybe two or three more callers. Again, it is 525. If you have other people that want to call in on this show, they have 5 minutes to call in. After 5:30, only the people that are on the line will be able to participate. So we want to give everybody an opportunity. For those of you who are sneaking from Israel to be on this show, we want to say we love you, and we're going to do everything in our power to provide a place of refuge for you. We love you in America, and
Thank you. Do not
want to see our people hurt.
That's
it
right.
grieves yep. my heart that you have to even sneak to call and be on the chat line. So we're going to fix this. We just all need to come together. So
may I respond to the question?
Go ahead.
May I respond to the question that the brother asked?
The conference call number is area code 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. For those that are in Israel, let me repeat the number again. For the number in Israel, it is 972-076-599-0022, and the access code is 765-506. So we want to do that. So you guys go ahead, because we have an hour to hash this out. We have an hour for everybody to get it out, and then we're gonna really open up the lines for those who want to be a part of the planning process. Because now we got to start planning. You know, once we get it out, we got to start planning. You know, we need to have a refuge set up for women that are being abused, women that are being beat up. We need to have a number that they can call to report if they want out. It's a lot of things that we need to start establishing. So go ahead, you guys, take the line over.
Okay, can I respond to the questions that was asked me from the brother, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the brother posed a question. He said in reference to, okay, what we supposed to do when it comes down to, okay, we don't believe in Yeshua, we do believe in Yeshua. What do we need to do at this point? Right now, we're in Israel, and we continue to say that we have located the actual Mount Zion, the only house of Yahweh. Right now, I do agree that if at this time, I do not recommend anybody to move to Israel. And hear me clearly. I do not recommend anybody, not just to move to the community. I don't recommend anybody to move to Israel, period. What I do recommend is for the brothers there to stop keeping the holy days in their gardens and start making a pilgrimage 3 times a year to the Holy Land. Because we haven't been making a pilgrimage, and because we haven't turned to God in prayer, all of these diseases, all of these plagues are coming upon us to destroy us. But the warning that I have to give is, as I've been listening, back in 1987, when I first came out, although I was not a part of the community. I defended the community. They had in the newspapers back then, and they had blasted the word corpse. They said the word corpse. And at that point, they labeled every Hebrew Israelite a cult. I went out, and I was fighting against this word cult, and I said dictator. Dear to me, if we continue to use this word cult, we are empowering our enemies to speak against us all. Dear to me, and what's happening in Dimona is a dictatorship, and he took over by force. When the brother Yob was killed in Dimona, at that point, everybody became fearful of him. Well, we see, so if we continue to use the word cult in reference to our community here, which is the only Hebrew Israelite community, you're going to empower our enemies to come against us and to destroy us.
That's true.
And I continue to say to the brothers here also, when you look at outside agencies to solve our problems, we're doing the same thing we did when we invited the Romans into our land in the first place, when we invited the Babylonians and the Syrians, because we were fighting amongst each other, and we went to Egypt and asked to Edom, Ephraim asked Edom to fight against Judah. So we continue to go out to people that we know that our adversaries and ask them to solve our problems. We are inviting more and more problems. The solution to our problems have to be internally. We have to solve our own problems here, and the problem will simply be solved by men of strength standing up and organizing themselves and saying enough is enough. So now, as I said to you before, Google my name. I'm here in Israel. It's H-O-W-S-H-U-A. You can number. I'm very well known for anybody that wants to make pilgrimage and any man that wants to stand up. Because if we can get 700 brothers to come up to the land of Israel and go down to Dimona and stop what's happening down there, it will stop in one day.
So Shalom, this is Adonia.
700 brothers during the holy days and a pilgrimage to Israel, to Mount Zion in prayer, to go to Dimona, that will stop in one day. So the answer is in our hands as an organized people.
All right. Brother Donia, go ahead. You have a comment about that? Go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, in order to go to land three times a year, you're supposed to have your tithes. You understand? That's what I understand. And we're supposed to have offerings. You understand? Are we able to have offerings in the land at that particular time? And my second thing is that I suggest that the outside entities, they already know of this problem. You understand? You know, they already know. You understand? And it don't take nobody telling them. You understand? They're going to fall on that situation, you understand, because there's children involved. And we should be over, we don't have no secrets. You understand? We the house of Israel, man. Them people that fall on us can't do nothing to us if we trust in the Almighty. You understand? If we trust in the Almighty and gather ourselves together and make an effort to try to do something, the Almighty will bless our hand. But we sit up here and we all scattered all over the place and got a thousand different interpretations and everything. We ain't with Almighty on one of them issues. If we go to the Almighty, He'll tell us what to do. Hallelujah.
Okay, now
I could say something. I'm sorry.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir. One moment, please. I just want to ask a question because I heard the brother say we can handle our things internally. But we have a young man in Israel right now that's about to go to jail externally for 25 years for committing the same offense to a young woman in the Israeli community. How do we handle a pedophile internally without turning them over to the authorities? Because those are crimes against humanity. And I feel like, you know, we besides illegally doing something heinous to those people, then, you know what I'm saying, it has to be handled. As long as we don't have our own government and we're not completely in control, we have to rely on the governmental systems that we're under to punish these people, because this stuff has to be addressed. Brother, go ahead from Atlanta.
Absolutely. I concur with you, my sister. I was going to say, you know, I respectfully disagree with my brother, Rabbi Hoshua, in terms of the internal facet. There is an aspect of the internal thing that if dealt with properly, there won't be a need for the reach of Caesar into, you know, our homes and thus into our congregations. But in the days of Yahoshua, clearly when he stated, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. See, I believe wholeheartedly that when we step outside the parameters of Torah and want to act like Negroes, then typically you have to call in somebody that can handle the Negro. And in Dimona, that is nothing but nigger behavior. I'm going to just call it straight up what it is. Because true children of Israel who have returned to Yah do not look to exploit, pimp. I mean, let me tell you something. I have a daughter-in-law who was born there in a community 38 years ago. I have a granddaughter. And, you know, the thing she told me when she came back to America, from Benami himself, having all type of illicit sex, fornication. I mean, this is not just word of mouth, where now he's telling these, you know, the sisters he's had sex with to have abortions. You not only have drug usage, you have drug selling. So this whole thing that they keep pepping out to the world, talking about, you know, come here, the Village of Peace, we don't have this, we don't have that. The whole thing is a sham, and it needs to be understood as such. You have to deal with these people. See, they love money. You have to deal with them in that particular area from the vantage point of withholding your dollars from things that they value. Just like this event they have each year called New World Passover, I'm telling you, I've seen it. If it is shut down, they'll begin to understand that the rest of the Israelite world, we ain't sleep. We don't slumber. Just like the Holy One of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers, we have to have a place where it's clear that even if y'all don't believe like us, beautiful, we know about it. You told us 40-plus years ago, come with you, come visit you. We've done that. Now it's clear. We don't need the heathen to say this is a cult. I say it's a cult. I understand that calling it that is going to bring a certain attention. If we remember back in 1999, the FBI released what they were willing to release called Project Megiddo. The Israelite nation, whether in the United States or at large, is considered de facto a cult by definition. Whether it be Ben-Ami, whether it was Hulon Mitchell with the Yahweh Ben Yahweh cult, I get it. And with this upcoming movie in production with Danny Glover playing the leader of an Israelite, a black Hebrew Israelite, which there's no such beast, a black Hebrew Israelite group out of New York City, the movie is called Asher, who is plotting a terrorist attack. That is the byline, the storyline of this doggone movie that's going to be released allegedly in the United States this year, thus making it look like we're all nothing but crazed people. So I understand what, you know, Rabbi Hoshua was saying. I just respectfully disagree. We have to call the spade and do something about it. So, you know, all I want to say again, I want to reach out to those who are ex-members who are looking to leave in the community. Understand, we're here to help you. We are here. We may not have something all over the United States or wherever set up, but we will be working towards helping you. There, you are not alone. You don't have to feel like you are alone. These people have failed you. It should be evidentiary that with the desecration of your cemetery, it should be clear that the Father is frowning on this whole thing. And I don't say that to be insensitive. I say, are you all not reading the handwriting on the wall? And if so, what is it saying? You should be running for your life, because even Ben-Ami is alleged right now to have a state of sickness where he might quite possibly be dying. So this thing right now is falling to the earth. And one last thing, if I can say this, and forgive me for being long-winded, I want to say I respectfully disagree with those who are still in the community or ex-members that think that all you got to do is remove Ben-Ami and the current leadership, and if you think that you can only replace Ben-Ami with Prince Asiel, you are gravely mistaken. Because to imagine that Prince Asiel didn't know about things to the degree that he says to the rest of us or the world, you got to be joking me. So who would you replace the so-called Nisikim with? other people. I submit that the template that has been put up, called the Holy Princeton, everything has got to be over. You have to allow the Father's people now to find Yah. Stop trying to put treads on a threadbare or bald head tire. It's not the kingdom of Yah. It's done. It's over and done with. Torah Rabbah.
Now, I have a question for you, because there are people here in America that are making plans to go to this annual Passover thing that you just spoke about. I have several people on this line that are from, that are actually in Israel. What would you say to those people who are gathering up, I think, is, how much is it? It's $2,600 to be able to go over to Israel for this annual Passover. What advice would you give them if it was me making a plan to go for the Passover? What would you tell them?
In truth, my sister, again, I say this out of experience. My first trip, I was one of the guests of Ben Ami Prince Asiel. They sponsored the tour. We paid, I think it was at that time in 96, like maybe $1,800 or $1,900. I would say keep your money. I'm not saying don't go. If you want to go to Israel, I can help you put your own tour together, because I've led 5 tours to Israel over the past 21 years myself. But I'm not saying don't visit your land. I'm saying don't go and deal with them at all. Just the way Moran Rakiah said, I would not suggest that you darken their doorsteps in any shape, form, or fashion, because it's not only a waste of time, you hazard your life, both physically and spiritually. This thing is so real that people have died under the teaching of everlasting life. How do you teach people that everlasting life is attainable, yet people die in your midst, and the people don't recognize this is a false teaching, the way it's been taught? The pillars are dying.
I would just like to interject one thing about that particular New World Passover ceremony. It's degenerated to the point where Ben Ami Carter is walking around with armed guards. Now, why would the Mashiach need to walk around with armed guards?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. So if I could say it again, my sister, if I could just say, those that are listening on the line right now, please, I'm not telling you not to visit the land. I'm saying there are other avenues and ways to visit Israel. You don't need to go and visit them. Keep your monies. Let us stop. If we were talking about back in the day, you know, divestment from South Africa, do that in terms of the monetary thing. Get their attention. Let them know that you are not only not pleased, you refuse to help them to continue to pay pedophiles, people who want to just have – I mean, it's so much evil going on there. Some of you would just – you probably think we're just talking. I dare you to speak to people who've left, whose lives were there for 40, 35 years, and really listen to these people in terms of what went on.
My brother, okay. I would like to say that if you plan on bringing people, I think you're absolutely correct. If someone, according to the scripture, say that they are the Mashiach, the scripture says, do not go out to them. So anytime, if you say that you do not believe that Ben-Ami is the Mashiach, according to scripture, because he called himself the Mashiach, when you go out to him, that's when you become deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of the deception process, because when people know he's not the Mashiach, when you go out to see him, that's when you become deceived. So I would say to you, my brother, and anyone else, that to get with you and to come up 3 times in a year around Passover for a pilgrimage to keep the holy day in the land of Israel. And as the other brother also questioned me, he said to me, well, brother, can we come up now? And can we have an offering? The scripture tells us that when we first come up to the land, the scripture says, come up with words. God wants us right now to come up with prayer. And that's the only offering that we need right now is words. And if we come up with words to the holy place of God and pray, then God would open up the door from us from there.
Hallelujah. All right, and I wanted to ask another question, because there was something that Mahalia had on her website about a 5-year-old. Is there human trafficking going on as well with the children? I mean, exactly how bad is it with the children? Because, I mean, this is really pretty serious. And I don't want, you know, well, go ahead. Someone can answer. I don't know.
Well, can I answer that? This is
yes,
Sister Rakiah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Rakiah. I'm not quite sure
okay.
I know what she's talking about.
Trafficking in children in the community, that is not something that I discovered in my last 5 years of dealing with this whole issue of sexual abuse. Many of the accounts of sexual abuse, those individuals are now adults, and it happened. It was going on when they were children. Some cases were happened long before I got there. In fact, the individual that molested my son had a number of other situations prior to my son even being born. And some of the brothers wanted to take the individual out to the mountains and bury him then. But then Ami made the decision, no, let him stay here. We'll keep an eye on him. And many people are under the misconception that we can heal them, that the world has never tried to heal pedophiles. We can heal them. That doesn't happen to be the case. So as far as trafficking, I don't know of anything of trafficking in the community, but there are a lot of now adults. You know, my children are respectively 32 and 28, and even children that are adults that are now in their 40s and 50s were molested as children. So I hope that answers the question.
Well,
let me respond to the human chat. Are the children now safe, or are they still going through that?
Just before my leaving in the last year, there was a five-year-old that an incident came up that she had been molested, and the young son was scurried out of the city so that he wouldn't be beat up by some of the other youth. And then he was sent out of the country and returned to the United States. That child is still there. I don't know if that child ever received any professional help for her to deal with that trauma. And there are other incidents that I have heard of, like I say, in the last 4 years of me working with that. But again, many times it's hard to confirm those situations when they're brought to us. Or that's what was the situation when I was there.
Okay.
Let me respond to the human trafficking. What, that issue came up because what happened was you had a lot of brothers that came over to Israel and sisters that's reported that they left the community, but they never showed up in America. So let me let you know you are in the Middle East. You have human trafficking is being done here among the Arabs. So the brothers said, so a lot of people assume that if they didn't show up, and I've heard those same allegations, that they didn't show up, they're not here in Israel, they're not in America, where are they? So that's where the issue of human trafficking came in at. But also, let me go back and reiterate on the issue of, as he said, calling out ourselves. Now, there's certain things that we can refer to ourselves as, but when we go public with those issues, that open up a whole nother door. According to the prophecy, it says that in the last days that these people are going to attack our community. And I'm just warning the brothers that when I say to them that when you cry out loud and point at your leadership, because regardless of not, according to the Torah, you got to be very careful about pointing to your leadership, because the God is a Benjamin. He is the leader of a people that's leading our people here. And when we use certain terms that empower our enemies, that's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that same term is going to be used back on all of us, which is going to fulfill the prophecy of the attack on our community in the last days. So again, I'm going to put forth the warning that we can deal with these issues without using the same term that they are using against us to enslave us and to attack us all.
Can I say something, if you all don't mind?
I want to make a point here. Please, go ahead. Now, I just have to say in all humility that my brother here is speaking. I'm putting out a disclaimer here. I'm saying this is his opinion. We don't necessarily share the same opinion. When I asked him to come on the show, I asked him to speak about the situation with the Africans. I don't agree with that whatsoever. but we have argued about different things and disagreed on about different things over the years. I still consider him my brother and my friend. I would have to say at this juncture that we here in Israel have failed to protect our children.
Absolutely.
And our children are our future. Our children are our future. And this is something that Ben-Ami has said over the years and taught the members in the community, that our children are not our future. He's taught everlasting life, and there have been numerous deaths upon deaths here in the community.
That's right.
So we have to start protecting our children. We have to start admitting our wrongdoing, and we have to start anew. Now, as far as a government here, I'm not going to say one way or another that I have all of the answers. The only thing I can say to you is I know what has not worked for us.
Uh-huh.
Okay? What I'm saying is we have to now do something to protect these babies that are in the hands of these brainwashed parents. They don't deserve that. Now, you know, whether that happens or not, I can't say. But just looking at the situation where we're not hearing anything from the mothers, we're not hearing anything from the members, we're not hearing anything from the fathers, what else? It's obvious, it's plain, it's clear that they're brainwashed. That, you know, their critical thinking skills have been marginalized. So if we want to do anything, then we're going to have to try to use whatever is to our advantage. We have to use the authorities or whatever else we can use to try to help save these innocent. Most of the people in the community are babies. You know, and they have a skeleton crew of the old guard that are standing watch over Ben-Ami, and they're going to go down with the ship because they're criminals as well. So, you know, I believe that the brother Nuriyahu is right. It's already dead. It's been denounced. And spiritually so, it's been dead for a long time. But for those babies that are still there and the other young sons and daughters that are walking around in the community that have been molested, and they're like ticking bombs, they're going to go out and do some of the same thing if they don't get some kind of psychological therapy or help.
That's right.
From our people.
Right.
You know? So, you know, what are we going to do? These men that have molested these sons and now they're gay or now they're child molesters, they created these people. And now they want to go around and say that, well, the Bible says we need to stone them and you're the ones that turned them out. No, we have to have something to help save our children. This is my cry. So all I can say to you at this juncture is our children are extremely confused. Some are too young to have any idea of what's going on. A lot of the teenagers, they look at people like myself and Rakaya, and they look at us as the enemy because they don't understand what we're trying to do. You know, some of the older ones, they're so messed up, and they're alcoholics. They're on drugs. You know, they have went far away from our ways. They don't want to have anything to do with Hebrew or anything for that matter. So lest we lose a whole generation, you know, something has to be done. And I am beseeching those of you that can come up with the think tanks, come up with some ideas to help our people. I'm beseeching you to do that because a lot of the good minds have left. The ones that are left here is the old guard, and they are not going to move from their position. They're going to go down just like the pillars of salt. That's what it's going to be. It's already dead. But the children, we should not leave them behind.
Right.
We should have something
right.
for them. So I thank my sister Rakaya for coming, and I thank my brother Nuriyahu and my brother here, Hoshua, you know, because they all, you know, all of us have something to give. That's why we're here tonight, you know, because we are concerned, you know. And those that are not present, it's, we all understand why. So all I can say to you is I thank you, and my heart is full. Sometimes I get emotional, but I, you know, that young son that's facing 25 years, That was a beautiful, beautiful boy. And I remember when he had a relationship with a young daughter, and they were 15 years old, and they were really in love. He was tortured in his soul by what happened to him. And when he actually assaulted this girl, he had been drinking. So, you know, when they call alcohol, they call it spirits. You know, it brings out those spirits. These drugs brings out these spirits.
That's right.
You know? So they are breeding generations of more pedophiles, of more criminal activities, and it has to stop because these children, we are the righteous vanguard. We have to protect them. We don't know how many people might come here or may not come here, but I do believe in my heart that we're here for a reason. Benjamin did bring us out, but the brother was right. We were tested. So now what are we going to do, throw it all away? We have to at least save those children because they are our future.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Could I offer something? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For being on the show, you know, and like I said, you know, we have – it's time to start bringing, putting things into action. It's time. We have enough free stuff. We have a whole lot of free things that we can do, like the free phone number that I just gave you from Israel. We can that number is there. We can have people call in. We need to have psychologists on the line to be able to talk these children through. It's a lot of things that need to be addressed because we can't leave them hanging like that. We just
right.
cannot leave our babies hanging like that. That's just not going to work. And what angers me is that the Hebrew community is not mad enough. They're
I agree.
I mean, you should be pissed. I mean, you should be outraged. And the response that I received from some of my other constituents was like, you know, be very careful. Hush, hush now. You don't want to step on nobody's toes. It has to be better. No, you should be pissed. You should be angry.
That's
you
right.
These babies, can you imagine a grown man molesting a five-year-old child? That's what makes me angry. And I'm like Sister Mahalaya. I get emotional because that's unacceptable, and it will not be accepted. You know, yes, y'all will get them, but, yes, they need to be prosecuted because if we have to, the same law that we're expected to keep should be the same law to protect us. And if that young man has to go to jail for molesting that little girl, every pedophile that has – because what we don't want is to have the pedophiles getting out of jail – and figuring that Israel and Dimona is a place where they can go and practice their perversion.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
The mother should be every Hebrew mama, every mama on this phone ought to be pissed.
Shalom. Let me say something.
That's why I proposed the suggestion that we all, that everybody that commit these crimes, their names must be publicly put out there. Because the fact is that when we have a child molester, they put them in a police bank, they put the names aware. So what happened is that these people are moving from community to community.
That's right.
And no one is aware of who they are. So that's why the first thing we must do is publicly announce who they are. We must put their names up on Facebook or their pictures up and let everybody in the world know who these people are. See, so there are means of us being able to stop our own problems, and I'm going to continue to say that. There's means. The Torah tells us, Benjamin and his arrogance, he continued to put the Torah to the side. According to the scripture, and I'm going to say this very clearly. If a man has lay with another man, the penalty for that is death. Not
converting,
not changing. The Most High looked at this sickness as a sickness that was unrecoverable.
That's right.
Once that happens, the only way of being able to deal with that for the community is death. If those individuals continue to be within the community, is going to infestate the whole body, and the body will die.
which it has
done.
When
the Torah gave us a commandment to follow the laws of God, it meant follow the laws of God. Because Ben-Ami, again, felt that he had more wisdom than the word of the book of the scripture, he sought for his own solution. And again, this is the price you pay when you turn away from the Torah. Now, what must we do here now? According to the scripture, and let me say these things to you. We're sitting back talking about these things, but everything we're talking about is in the Bible. It has been prophesied. And the prophecy also said that the Most High is going to come and kill those individuals and is going to call his people by another name. So everything that's happening right now is a part of the fulfillment of the scriptures that's going to have the adversary come through here and kill everybody called a black Hebrew Israelite, and the children of righteousness that's going to come after that is going to be called by another name, the 144,000.
Could I offer something, my sister, if you don't mind, just very briefly, on what I'd like to do is the context of what I have to say is something that I've been suffering with, if you will. Since I came into this walk, I'm an Israelite from Chicago. I just happen to live in the metropolitan Atlanta area. This is what I have to say. A lot of older brothers and sisters have warned us for years to not speak openly about Ben-Ami, because they say Ben-Ami because of the way they view his work as the Father's anointed. Well, I beg to differ. I understand that both Yah and Hasatan can anoint, because anointing, you know, that whole piece means to choose. So the question becomes for me, if it is unrighteous in the eyes of Yah in 2014 to call Ben-Ami what he is, false prophet, false messiah, false teacher, what is the difference between me stating that verbally that brings a certain attention to Ben-Ami and brings a certain reaction to other people, as opposed to somebody actually laying their hands on Ben-Ami? Because I've heard the older Israelites who come into this walk long before I did warn me years ago, because I used to do a cable show in Chicago with another brother called The Seventh Seal, and then we would usually get the round of scourgings from our elders saying, look at here, we know the community's got problems, but you got to remember Saul and David. And sometimes I would just have to stop them and say, hold on for one second. Which one is Ben-Ami, Saul or David? Because are you trying to make it that Ben-Ami has actually ascended the throne of David? I'm sorry. The clause is, if your son David obey my law, I'll be a father unto them, they'll be my children. But if they break my law, I'm going to do this to them, the place that's going to be built, and to the people. So if Ben-Ami, conversely, is not the one to sit on the throne of David, then where are we at? We are where we are because Ben-Ami has never been on the throne of David. Because the only one that could be on the throne of David is the one unto whom it belongs, namely another descendant called Yahushua. And I know for a lot of people that's a problem. But my problem is being quiet right now about Ben-Ami in any shape, form, and fashion, to me, protects him. It gives duplicity in terms of what it is that we're really about. I can only lock arms in unity with people who don't want unity at the expense of the truth. The truth for me is that I know Ben-Ami has been, he's with the adversary. I've known that from day one. Because of that, I am not going to not call Ben-Ami a cult leader, because it might bring the authorities. Well, what about the Father? What about what the Father requires of us right now? In saying all that, I think we got to stop playing this religious game, pretending that Ben-Ami has some protection from Yah. I am not advocating that anybody do anything physical to Ben-Ami. What I've been doing for 20 years is telling the world, Ben-Ami is a false prophet, false teacher, false messiah, and unless we stand up to that, whether we so-called messianics or Torah only, heck, all Yisrael is supposed to be Torah-based. So what are we talking about here? We got to stop playing this Christian Hebrew religious game. If we're going to call Ben-Ami out, call him out 100%. Stop being scared and let it stand where it is. I don't consider that foolish. I consider that wise in the face of what's happened under his leadership for the past 40 years. How many more people have to die under this teaching of everlasting life? How many more people got to break the Shabbat or any of the laws until we just bring it
It is time to bring it uncut, unwatered, and stop fearing what people got to say. That's one thing right now that makes me sick to my stomach, to keep hearing that we'll castigate him in this area, but we got to be careful how we do it. I'm sorry. If we are concerned more about our relationship with Yah, do it the way the Father is showing you how to do it. Now, for some of us, that's going to look different. So that's all I have to say. I am not offering Ben-Ami the Hebrew Israelite Witness Protection Program, period. He's the guilty, and Yah says right here in the Torah, Numbers 14, 18, plain and simple, and by no means clearing the guilty. If he says that, how can I offer Ben-Ami the veneer of protection because I think he's Yah's anointed? He ain't never been Yah's anointed, not to me. That's why I'm going to keep speaking openly and actually put my hand to the plow to do something to help the people he's lied to.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I guess that's it at all. I mean, like you said,
no, one more thing. It says in Isaiah 58, the first chapter, it says, cry aloud. And don't hold your voice back.
That's right. Spare not.
Spare not. You understand? You understand? And it does, you know, at this particular point here, we want to call ourselves a nation. But
right.
We don't have things in place. You understand? We need to have the elders in place. We need to have judges in place. So, being that we don't have those, then we have to be responsible. We have to go with the other nations. You understand? And once they feel like we have to suffer the punishments of them other nations because of the atrocities. It got to be something done. We can't sit by and let this stuff continuously to go on. You understand what I'm saying? It's been going on for such a long time, unchecked. You understand that they feel comfortable doing what they're doing.
You're absolutely right, my brother. You're absolutely right.
Understand, and so you understand. Let me tell you something. One other thing. They knew that they was wrong, but they knew that they weren't going to get punished. They can hold on to that, you understand, forever. They knew that they were not going to get punished, so this is why they continuously to do that. You understand what I'm saying? And let me go another step further. You understand? This is all the Almighty making a change here. This brother, see, this was being done years ago. But now the light is being shined on them by the Almighty. The Almighty is long suffering. You understand? He gave an opportunity for them to change their way. They didn't do it. They didn't make no effort to do it. It got worse. So we need to do something. You understand? I'm totally in agreement to doing anything that's gonna get them brothers some punishment. You understand? Because I wanted to bring my children over there. You understand? I thought, that, and it was done under the premise of it was supposed to have been a safe haven. And look what's happening there. Hallelujah.
So, I'm gonna say that when the punishment come forth, the punishment should come from God. And I'm gonna say that
comes through people. Almighty will inspire people to do things.
Absolutely.
Right. Because the scripture tells us that in the law, it says that when we see somebody that's guilty, it says that we are the ones to be the first one to pick up the stone and throw at them. So it's a community effort. My family, as I said before, was among the first people to stand up to Ben-Ami. You can go and look on YouTube and see me and my son down in Dimona breaking the Torah in Dimona. That's been a mean that he broke the law. Nobody else stood with us. When people, everybody else right now, we sitting up here in Israel, I'm fighting the brothers every day, telling them to turn to the law. Where are the brothers at? Ain't nobody saying nothing. But what the brothers are asking, they want somebody else to do it. They want somebody else. Call this man. Call that man. I'm saying, and I'm going to continue to say this, we got to stand up at men and start to be responsible for our community. And that makes it, and you're right, brother, how can we talk about, we're not a nation, and we will never be a nation until we turn to God's law and start to apply it. Unless we apply God's law to what's going on in Dimona, to what's going on in our neighborhoods, we will never return to the land.
and we shouldn't never return here. And we shouldn't ever have to deal with brothers in Dimona, because we will never stand up as men and follow God's law. And when something happens, and who will be the first to cast the stone? And me and my family has been the first to cast the stone, and we got stones cast at us from all Israel. So now, 40 years down the line, everybody want to cast the stone. Everybody want to say, Benjamin, Benjamin, Benjamin.
Well, you know what? It takes the Almighty to inspire people to do things. You understand? It's not just, you know, those things, you know, the Almighty, remember now, you know that the Almighty is long-suffering. You understand? He gave that brother an opportunity to make a difference, to make a change. You understand? He didn't change. Now he got to pay. You understand? And the Almighty is inspired in this generation here, these people right here, you understand, that's waking up now to this atrocities, you understand what I'm saying? And all those that knew about it and didn't do nothing got to suffer the same punishment. Believe it or
Hallelujah.
Not.
Hallelujah. I'm with you on that. Because to know, to ask, because the scripture also says that we are to honor the laws of the land. And whether or not anybody on this line realizes it or not, just because you're in Dimona, you're still a United States citizen. And according to the law of the United States, pedophilia is against the law.
That is correct.
So we are still United States citizens. We are not sovereign citizens. We do not have our own nation. And even though we are in the land of Israel, in the land of, in the community of Dimona, for somebody to take somebody out and kill them, that could possibly lead to other criminal charges being put against you. To shun some where there's no consequence, there's no change. Period.
Mm.
And if we were in our own land and we had our own law and God was governing our law, they would have been taken care of immediately.
That is correct.
But that should be a sign by itself that he ain't the Messiah.
Very true.
I don't understand, because I mean, you know, if we under his government, I doubt it. I mean, it's about people got to just wake up. It's listening to all is very emotional. It's very sickening at the same time. They protected him, but what about protecting the children? I'm just worried about the children, the innocent. They're not being protected, and it's really bad, and it's just going to get worse and fester and just sit there and just get real bad and fester and just be worse and worse and worse, and we just sit here talk. And I'm glad that we're talking so we can get it out, because some people are just scared to talk anyhow. Especially those that's over there that's living, most of them, that's the brothers that's living in the community. And I think they only, people that said the reason why they're not talking, maybe, just maybe, they got something on them.
I think you're right, my sister.
I want to make an announcement, too. On the chat line, someone told me that Kohane Oman from the Ministry of Divine Justice in Dimona was trying to get on the line, but he couldn't get through because the line was so crowded. I also did allow him to get the phone number to the conference call. And what we're going to do is, I think that it would be befitting to wrap this up now and not wait until 6:30. Give everybody an opportunity to stretch, you know, get water, go do whatever we're going to do, and then come back to the line at 6:30 and call in. Let me give you guys the number one more time, because I think this number is going to be pretty full tonight. We've had different organizations that are here on the line, and I'm sure that they are alerting their people right now as we speak to the conference call at 6:30. And, you know, we have a bunch of other people that are on here from Atlanta. They're all over the country, Washington, D.C., New York, Ohio, West Virginia, all kind of we got it from everywhere. So let me give the number out again so that you all that are on the line, I want to put a call out. All of you all that are on the line that have professional training, that have training in dealing with psychological issues like molestation, pedophilia, physical abuse, psychological abuse, mental abuse, any type of abusive behavior, we need to bring those trainings to the table, because now we have to try to start healing people. So let me get this phone number out here so that you can take a minute, call your people, have everybody on the line, because now it's time to find a solution. The phone number for the chat, for the conference call, again, is area code 559-726-1300, and the access code is, let me make sure I get this right, 765-506. We want to take this opportunity to make sure that we have all, now if you're calling from Israel, or let me give you the number to Israel. If you're calling from Israel, it will be free if you dial 972-076-599-0022. And the access code is the same, 765-506. So we're going to give everybody at least 1 minute to make their final comments, and then Brother Donny and I will say our farewells, and then we'll give everybody a chance to stretch, come back on the conference call. All the Morays and the Kohanes, you know, I don't know if you have assistants or people that are under you. I don't know what your hierarchy is like, or your organization or chain of command, but you may want to involve some of your people from your organization to be a part of the call as well, so we can actually identify a date when we're going to do this think tank. We will leave it up to you guys in Atlanta to find the place and how we're going to do it and where we're going to have it, and then we will begin to promote this outwardly so that they can come. So everybody that wants to say something, we'll start with the brother in Atlanta, 770. Go ahead. You can be first. Moray? Are you there? Area code 703. I mean 770-703. Okay, he might have put his phone on mute. Sister Mahalaya, are you there? Okay, do you have any final comments before we say farewell and go to the conference call?
I just want to thank everybody that called in and listened in. This matter is of utmost importance. Our children's lives are on the line. Again, I say to you that they are the righteous vanguard here in Jerusalem. Until everyone comes home, we need to protect them. We need to extend ourselves to them, because their parents don't know any better. They are brainwashed. We need to stop the atrocities that are taking place here in Israel. We need your help. And all I can say is I want to thank the people that I invited to come on, even those that I don't necessarily agree with. And God bless you all. Thank you.
All right. Rabbi Hoshea Hashua.
Yeah, I want to conclude by saying that the solution to our problems here is when strong brothers stand up and follow the laws of the Most High God. If there's a homosexuality or offender, they need to be found somewhere floating in the river of Chicago, and let them know that the Rabbi Hoshua Amariel blessed them and give their blessing for anybody that's breaking the law in our community. If there be two or three witnesses, if they're found floating in the Chicago River or hung in a tree here in Israel, that's the solution for that Rabbi Hoshua Amariel has given for the problem. And if any time have to be dead, I will do the time.
All right, all right. Brother Moray from Atlanta, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, my sister, just final thing I want to say is taken right from the letter of Yaakov or James, chapter 4:17. Therefore, to him or her that knows to do good and does it not, to him or her it is sin. All that we've heard, I've heard this for the past 20-plus years, and again, I know and I knew we couldn't do this alone. I knew I wasn't the only voice trying to, you know, alert people to the evils that I had not only heard about, some of which I witnessed myself. And, you know, we should be ashamed, the men in Dimona, part of that community, who are doing nothing. And I believe that one of the sisters said, I can't prove it, but I believe that many brothers
There's something that the leaders are holding over them. They've either done something in Israel or America, and they've been threatened to a place of silence, even in the face of their own family members being summarily either molested, abused, or what have you. That's the only other thing I can think of, because many of these brothers have no problem posturing with us Israelites that they used to say weren't in the kingdom, but they can't stand up to their own leadership that they know is doing evil.
All right, brother. Brother Adonijah, what, you have any last words?
Yes, I want to say first is that I love all of you, and I commend all of you that are standing up now to speak out against this atrocity, this abomination in the eyes of the Almighty. You understand? And secondly, I want to also say is that this is the Almighty doing this. It could not have happened back there in those days and times. This is the Almighty getting ready to call, he's getting ready to stretch out his arm against the nation that hold us captive. You understand? If you take a real hard look at it, you'll see how each one of these days is running into one another. You understand? It's getting close to the time of the Almighty's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to straighten this out. You understand? We established in Israel. That might be the reason why we're in Israel today, is because we're established in Israel now. You understand? Now he's breaking up all of that nonsense, and so it had to be done in this day and time. So I say to us, let's stand up. When we gonna stand up for the Almighty is the key. You understand? We got to stand. You understand? And we don't have to be afraid. You understand? Nothing that they bring against us will prevail if we stand up in the name of Yah. Hallelujah.
All right, and I got one question for you, Brother Adonijah, which we do every week because we want to ring this atmosphere. What time is it, Brother Adonijah?
It's nation building time. It's time to bring our nation together. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir, it's nation building time. And the nation of Israel, the nation of Yehuda is going to stand up, and we're going to stand for righteousness, and we got righteous brothers and sisters that's willing to roll up their sleeves, and we're going to make this thing happen, and we're going to heal ourselves and love ourselves. And on that note, we're going to say farewell to everyone. We're going to give a chance for our song to play, get your chance to get some water, stretch out a little bit, and then we're going to come to the table and set a date for this think tank. And we're going to set a date and figure out how we're going to come together and do this, and we won't be on the car long. So to everybody, I say shalom, shalom. We love you. Thank you, Sister Mahalaya. Thank you, Hoshua.
Yep.
Thank you, Moray from Atlanta. I keep forgetting how to pronounce your name, but I promise you I'm going to get it on that conference call, and I'll see
All
you
right.
guys in a few minutes. We love you. Thank you for taking out the time. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Here we go.
The South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Lone,
was in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Try to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from an upfront.
Times got hard.
Coming from an upfront.
Times you gotta walk the work, yeah.
Coming from an upfront.
Sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much change. Down the ride out, even take the train. Even take her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. I try.
right, all right, that's the end of our show. It was a very powerful show. It was a very emotional show, but it was our show, and our job is to get the message out there, to allow everybody to come to the table, to voice their opinion, to give their thought, and to keep it in love and in unity and keep it organized. And we want to say to everybody, thank you so much for coming on the show. Shalom, shalom to you all of you out there in our, under the sound of my voice and our listening audience. We love you. We'll see you same time next week, same time, same place. Hopefully we'll be able to bring some solution to this problem, and we're going to do what we need to do to come together as a nation. See you on the conference call. The number again is 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. Shalom, shalom, everybody. See ya.